Walk through the door.
Knocked on my door, isn't
Knocked
it?
Knocked on my door, I don't. I read every other verse.
Has he just found out his Kindle plays music?
Yeah, I think so.
See, this is the sort of thing I'd chuck in as an intro for this episode if we were recording now.
We
walking
are recording
on sunshine. Whoa! I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa! I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa!
Haunting.
Oh, yeah!
Haunting is the exact word I would use. Right, turn it off now.
But the thing is, that's put us all in a good mood before the recording, so...
Yeah, fair play, well done.
So thank me later.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Paul Scrivens Experience, starring the man of the hour, the man with the power, the hit maker, the record breaker. He's got style and grace and a pretty face. He'll make your back crack and your liver quiver. He's wined and dined with kings and queens, and he slept in alleys and ate pork and beans. The one, the only, Mr. Paul Scrivens.
Yay. Why, thank you. Only some of that is factually correct.
My name's Stuart Brooks, and he's Adam Wykes.
Hello.
The pointing helped.
Yeah, I'm sure. How are you both doing?
Brilliant after that introduction.
I'm feeling a little ropey, to be honest. I watched the rise and fall of ECW this morning. So
did you enjoy it?
That perked me right up. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I'm feeling great because I've just listened to Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
It was very motivational, yes.
That and Daft Punk. Stuart, how are you feeling today?
I'm very good, thank you. Yes, yes. Excited to be watching a Royal Rumble. They're always good fun. And we're doing it the same way we did Royal Rumble 94, aren't we? We're
going
to watch the Royal Rumble live. So if you want to watch along with us, we'll let you know where to queue up the DVD and you can watch along with us.
Yes. I'm tremendously excited by this again.
Always enjoy the Royal Rumbles. Normally my favourite pay-per-view of the year, I think.
Yeah. What have you been up to this week, Stuart?
Well, I went to see Raw last Monday.
Really? I didn't know.
You did know.
I did.
And how was that?
It was okay. I wouldn't say it was as good as the one I saw in November, but yeah, it was a decent night. It missed Brian and Punk, really. They were the stars kind of last time that the crowd were most into. Mm. Adam Rose was very, very over. I'll give him that. Bray Wyatt was very, very over. That promo from Bray was absolutely fantastic, so that was quite cool to watch. And the O2 is quite a nice arena, actually.
Yeah, I've been there before.
And there's some pubs around the outside, Adam, so you would have enjoyed that.
There is, yeah. There's like a Lasso Guardas and stuff around there.
Yeah, we went and had a beer. So in honour of Mantar's only appearance, in-ring appearance on this episode of the podcast, this episode's challenge was to design a more ridiculous animal, beast, mythical creature-based gimmick. So what did you come up with, gents?
A sea cucumber.
A sea cucumber.
Yes.
Tell us more about this gimmick.
Well, I figured the costume could be sea cucumber in kind of style, probably being quite long and quite wide. If you haven't seen a sea cucumber, imagine a cucumber in the sea. But I figured as its defence mechanism, it could have kind of glands secreted in its costume and can ooze gunk when anybody comes near it, just to freak them out and leave the ring or render it quite slippy, and they might slip over and hurt themselves.
You've designed something that looks a bit like a green penis that secretes fluid everywhere.
When you put it like that,
I'm just saying.
So he's not oozing machismo; he's oozing semen all over the ring.
Yeah, it's slightly less catchy, isn't it?
Yeah,
not semen. I think you've got a bit of an obsession. It's not Val Venus. Yeah, it just gunk. You know, kind of like they used to have on Noel's house party.
Okay.
That kind of... It could be kind of brightly coloured just to get the kids excited by the gimmick.
Adam, how about you?
I don't know if I could top that, really. Yeah. I was thinking, along with, mythology, I was thinking they could have perhaps the Gorgon,
right,
like Medusa type thing. So they could take a woman and, unfortunately, put them through like a reverse process of what they did to China. So, in other words, make them so horrific looking. And they could wear a mask, and then their sort of like their finishing move, they could remove the mask. and scare the shit out of the opponent, kind of turning them to stone.
So they could just hire China now.
China's jaw's still as they made it. It's not reversed back to its previous manly stature.
Did you have any particular diva in mind that could portray this gimmick?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I think that...
Adam would have to spend some time thinking about the divas.
Well, I stuck along with the mythical creature type gimmick. So my idea, see if you can guess what it is you duct tape the shield together.
No.
They then become the three-headed hound of justice, Cerberus.
Yeah.
Ah, see what I did there?
Yeah, very nice.
Alternatively, very nice. You could just get the British Bulldog, the Junkyard Dog, and Rick Steiner and duct tape them together. I researched a few more mythical beasts here. Basically, I just went on the Wikipedia page for mythical beasts.
This is
some I came up with as well. So we've got the Telekine. I'm not sure on the pronunciation. But what this is described as is a skilled metal worker with the head of a dog and flippers of seals in place of hands.
And they're a skilled metal worker.
But imagine that as a gimmick. Mormo, which is a vampiric creature that bites bad children. Here I've just got in brackets Lawler.
Yeah.
Ophiotaurus, a part bull, part snake creature. For this gimmick, I figured you could just give Randy Orton the mantar head. Laylaps, a female dog destined to always catch her prey. Yeah, there's just too many diva jokes there. I don't even want to start. Yeah. And some sort of unicorn gimmick to be played by Triple H.
I like that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Very good.
Again, I asked the audience for their suggestions, and here's some of my favourites. So we have the Satyr. It's a midget with baggy pants with a badass pan flute theme. With Bull Nakano and Mantar as his parents.
Yeah.
I figured you could just get El Torito to do that and have those two come back as his parents for a skit. When they had Mae Young come back with the guy dressed as the Hand. You may have to help me with the pronunciation of this, Adam. Chimera?
I think that's about right.
Ricky Steamboat, brackets the Dragon. Chris Jericho, Lionheart. And Daniel Bryan, Goatface, tied up and throwing flash paper.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. A guy in a centaur costume with an extra set of fake legs. Finisher, Stinkface. Yeah, I like that. And my personal favourite of the Human Centipede.
Yeah.
Just with any.
Yeah, just glue any three people together.
Well, more than three, presumably.
How many is there in the film? You've seen the film, haven't you?
Yes, a wonderful romp it is as well. It's three, ass to mouth.
Centipede, then, is somewhat of an exaggeration. I mean, I've not seen the film, so I don't get the reference, but I don't really watch films.
Adam, if you had to be, here's a question for you, sewed in between two people as the middle part of the Human Centipede, who would you want it to be?
Let's edit this now. No.
Lillian Garcia and Paige.
Who's at the front? Who's at the back?
No.
Paige is at the front.
Are you disturbed by this conversation?
I'm quite upset.
I can promise you it's not going to get any better. So, Survivor Series 1994 had the big title win of Mr. Bob Backlund. Given that his previous reign lasted 2,135 days, any guesses on the length of his second reign?
I think it'll be... probably a fraction under that.
I know that it's very, very short. Is it a week?
A whopping 3 days.
Yeah,
3 days.
At a house show in Madison Square Garden on November the 26th, Backlund was scheduled to defend the WWF title against Bret Hart. Hart, however, was withdrawn due to injuries sustained at the Survivor Series from the chicken wing. In reality, Bret was taking a short break from the WWF to film some episodes of Lonesome Dove.
What's that?
It was like a cowboy TV show.
That Bret Hart's in?
Yeah, briefly.
Have you watched it?
No, I don't think it was shown over here. His replacement challenger, the newly babyfaced Diesel, who defeated Backlund by simply booting him in the gut and jackknifing him.
Yes, we saw that on the pre-show, didn't we?
Yes, it's on the pre-show, yeah. The other fallout from the Survivor Series split of Shawn Michaels and Diesel was the vacating of the WWF tag team titles. The WWF held a tournament exclusive to superstars between December 1994 and January 1995 to crown new champions. In first round matches, Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka defeated Men on a Mission. The new head shrinkers beat Owen Hart and Jim Neidhart.
Ooh.
The Heavenly Bodies thankfully disposed of the Bushwhackers.
Right.
And the 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly defeated Well Done.
Who are Well Done?
We'll get to them later.
Okay.
In the semi-finals, Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka beat the new head shrinkers and the Kid and Holly beat the Heavenly Bodies, setting up the Million Dollar Team versus Kid and Holly for this event. Did you notice a WWF tag team missing from that tournament?
Smoking Guns.
The Smoking Guns were kayfabe injured in a rodeo accident. and would not compete in the tourney.
What sort of rodeo accident would this be? Falling off a horse, I guess.
Not fisted by a bull. It was also announced on the 19th of December Raw that Rumble entrances this year would be cut from 2 minutes to every 1 minute by WWF Logic, making this the most exciting Rumble ever, just like the 40-man Rumble in 2011, yeah?
Yeah. Although I did quite like the 40-man Rumble, so I don't know whether I'm going to like this one or not.
In reality, the time between entrants was cut quite apparently due to the lack of star power, as we'll see when we watch it in a bit. The WWF correctly thought, given the talent in the match, it might become boring with the lack of big names. Also, between pay-per-views, Raw has celebrated its second anniversary.
Hooray!
Would you like to hazard a guess at the main event of that historic show?
I bet the IRS is in it.
Incorrect.
I bet Bam Bam Bigelow is in it.
Incorrect.
I bet Jeff Jarrett is in it.
Incorrect, Adam.
Is it Mantar?
No.
Oh.
It was, in fact, a tuxedo match between Harvey Whippleman, accompanied by Well Done, and Howard Finkel, accompanied by the Bushwhackers.
Seriously?
Finkel
won. Headlined.
That headlined the second anniversary of Raw.
Have you seen it?
Yes, it's terrible.
That did preempt my next question.
The show also contained a decent Owen Hart versus Razor Ramon match and a King's Court segment featuring William Shatner.
William Shatner?
William Shatner.
Oh, yeah, they mentioned him as well on the pre-show.
On the pre-show,
yeah.
Shatner would again appear on the following week's 16th of January episode of Raw in Bret Hart's corner for a match against Jeff Jarrett. Shatner was, how can I put this, drunk.
Oh. Well,
how drunk?
Pretty drunk. He obviously maintained a relative connection to wrestling as he inducted Jerry Lawler into the Hall of Fame.
Mm. And wasn't he a guest host of Raw a few years
yeah,
back?
Yeah, and he did that awesome little segment where he sung the themes in his own style.
Yeah, he did
style.
Sexy Boy and stuff, didn't he? Yeah.
I wish they'd made that available.
Yeah, that was really good.
So tonight's event is the Royal Rumble 1995. It's Wednesday, January the 22nd, 1995, and we are live Wednesday at the USF Sundome in Tampa, Florida, in front of a crowd of 10,000. The show drew a 1.0 buy rate, which is a total of 230,000 buys for a pay-per-view gross of 2.58 million and a live gate of 140,000. In the dark match for this show, Buck Quartermain defeated the Brooklyn Brawler.
That sounds like a stellar match.
Who's Buck Quartermain?
That was my next question.
A mid-90s WWF jobber who basically got the win as he's in his hometown. He would turn up in TNA in the mid-2000s to little success.
Was that the chap who was walking backstage?
Yes, that Todd says, good match, man, despite the fact he's clearly not watched his match. Yeah. Pre-show, did we watch the pre-show?
Yes. Way too much Todd Pettingill on it for my liking.
Well, he tells us Pamela Anderson is the hostess of the evening. Adam, why don't you tell us about Pamela Anderson?
He's got a whole separate section of notes, much more comprehensive than for the rest of the pay-per-view.
We figured this could be his gimmick after the Chuck Norris thing.
Although there's no amusing Pamela Anderson facts.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some out there. Pamela Anderson can slam a revolving door.
Yeah, she probably
can. When Pamela Anderson jumps into a swimming pool, she doesn't get wet. The water gets Pamela Anderson.
Right, then.
You can't search Pamela Anderson on Google. Something about she finds you. Can't remember the punchline.
I've got like a brief history of Pamela Anderson over about 3 pages.
That's more than your notes for the wrestling.
Oh, completely, yeah. Although I leave big spaces in between the lines.
Yeah, so. And your handwriting there is a bit shaky.
As I'm to do with my left hand.
When you say you googled Pamela Anderson, are we talking image search?
At one point. but primarily it was from different bio sites.
Okay, let's go.
Like, any of the information I can't really state as being 100% accurate because the accounts seem to differ from site to site. She first saw it came to prominence in 1989 when she was spotted at a Canadian Football League game wearing a Labatt's shirt. And
how bizarre.
And then she was put upon like the big Titantron type screen and everyone sort of like
instantly
stood up to attention, and they decided they'd make her the face of Labatt's. So she did that. She then got picked up in October that year to be on Playboy first time, and she did the last Playboy cover in 2011. Well, that makes her, she did the most covers of anyone ever. She started off acting in Home Improvement.
Yeah,
which I think
with
was
Tim
shown.
Allen.
Yeah, I think it was shown a lot.
Channel 4.
And then she got the part in Baywatch, which I guess is what she's most famous for. Which she was in from 92 to 98. And apparently a reunion movie in 2003 called Hawaiian Wedding.
Which sounds great.
Which I've never heard of before, but I'm sure it's awful.
But ordered off Amazon.
This afternoon.
I didn't, but I might. She was just in like loads of bad movies like Snapdragon in 93 and Raw Justice in 94. And
Snapdragon?
I know, I don't know what that is. Barbed Wire is the only one that I'd really
I know that,
because that was a big deal in 96.
That's the one with Sabu in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, he's the love interest.
Isn't there a love triangle with the Abyss as well?
Abyss, Sabu, and Pamela Anderson starring barbed wire.
This sounds like it's in TNA, so there's definitely a pole involved.
And then she kind of then slipped into what is mainly cameo roles, I think. So she was in Scooby-Doo in 2002 and Borat in 2006, which was very, very funny. She married Tommy Lee after knowing him for 4 days in February 1995. She had 2 sons with him. They got divorced in 98. They reconciled later on and split up again finally in 2008. She contracted hepatitis C from apparently sharing a tattoo needle with him.
Sounds likely.
Seems very odd, really, but she didn't announce that until 2002. She then got engaged to a Marcus Schenkenberg. I don't know who that is, and they broke up in 2001. Then she got engaged to Kid Rock.
I remember that.
And then broke up in 2003, but then married him in July 2006, and then filed for divorce in November 2006. And then in October 2007, married this... Something state him as being a film producer, but I think he's one of those people that's famous for being famous. You know, sort of general celebrity. Got a Rick Salomon. So she married him in October 2007, then they annulled the marriage in February 2008.
Fucking hell.
Then she started trying to see Tommy Lee again in 2008, and then she married this Salomon guy in January of this year. Now, he's an interesting character, so I clicked on him, and he was married to Elizabeth Daly, who's like a voice actress.
Oh, wasn't she in Rugrats?
Yes, yeah, she's the voice, that's what she's most famous for. And he was married to Shannon Doherty.
Okay. And Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, Mallrats.
No, means nothing to Scrivens. Mallrats, yes, yeah, obviously. Yeah, Mallrats. Yeah.
My face said it all.
And this is very interesting. He was the guy in the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Okay.
He was going out with her. And basically that all just ended with Sue. Oh, cross lawsuits all over the place. Obviously, there was the sex tape that was released on the internet in 1995. And apparently there was another tape made before the Tommy Lee one with Bret Michaels from Poison.
Okay.
I know. But he managed to put a block on that before it was released. And then just various other things. She's been in loads of Big Brothers. I don't know if these are all accurate, but apparently she's been in like Big Brother for Australia, India, Bulgaria, Germany and the UK.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I know she was definitely in the UK one, I remember that. But
and how many times was she married there?
I don't know, probably in every one.
To John McCurrick.
Apparently she wrote a letter to Barack Obama trying to encourage him to legalise marijuana. It did not say that he responded.
It's legal in a couple of states isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's her doing. Well done, Pam. I did come across... Have anyone ever heard of a website called Unencyclopedia?
No.
It just seems to be like Wikipedia, but full of absolute bullshit. And I found her page on it, and after reading about 2 lines, I thought, no, this is crap. But it did list her favourite books on there, and 2 of those being Boob Explosion... and Stick Your Pole in My Asshole.
And you ordered those off Amazon as well, presumably.
I don't think they exist. And then obviously one of the things that she's most famous for is having breast implants. I can't work out when she actually got them, but sometime in the early 90s, after the first Playboy, before she did Baywatch, and she went up to a D cup, and then in 1999 had them lowered to a C cup, and then in 2005 had them boosted up to banging double Ds.
And which are your personal favourites?
Probably the D cup of Baywatch era ones.
Okay.
And there you go, that is the rundown of Pamela Anderson.
That was Celebrity Watch with Adam White.
In a nutshell. Shall we get on with some wrestling now?
We get to see the Backlund and Diesel Classic at Madison Square Garden in its entirety. I mean, that was a great bonus to have on the DVD.
Yeah, all 10 seconds of it.
Is there anyone who can match Diesel's speed, we're asked. My answer here is probably.
Yes. I think Bob Sparkplug Holly.
Yes, in his race car. Brett compares the jackknife to falling out of a 20-story building. Not sure of the legitimacy.
Well, there's that thing about cats, isn't there?
What's that?
Supposedly, the some vets did some kind of research, I think. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, they powerbombed a cat off a building.
No, they didn't powerbomb a cat, but... In I guess, places where there's lots of high-rise buildings, I noticed a trend where if the cats fell out of a window above a particular height, they're okay because they're enabled to kind of get into an almost gliding position.
Flying cats.
That's whatever my source was.
What you're saying is it's more devastating if, say, El Torito powerbombs you as opposed to Kevin Nash because you've got more time to glide.
If you're a cat.
Can you powerbomb a cat?
Probably.
Let's see if Teddy Hart gets that promotion.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Was it like, did they have to wait until they've reached like terminal velocity?
I think it is something to do with the height and getting into the right position. It kind of is one of those things that it might be rubbish.
What is the terminal velocity of a cat?
It might be rubbish, but it also, it's got that kind of slight hint of feasibility around it, whereas it's like that kind of the hair science bit that they do on the adverts.
Is there just like an apartment block somewhere that's got a load of like dead cats around the bottom?
Yeah. Because in order to get this information correct, surely they'd have had to
kill a few cats.
To go up onto the top of the building and push some cats off.
No, I think the research just came about through documentation of natural accidents, as it were.
Excellent stuff.
I'm starting to think this show is less and less about wrestling each time.
It's more about Baywatching cats.
I blame the name change.
Yeah.
The best seat in the house is in your living room, says Todd Pettingill to a bunch of fans in the live audience. What's the point in going?
Oh, he's right on the money.
There is a female Todd Pettingill with 1970s Linda McMahon.
What was her name?
Stephanie Wyand.
Yeah, and I got very confused by this. It's like, who is this girl?
Yeah, she's only around for about 6 months or so. We'll see her on a few pay-per-views. Yeah, okay. She doesn't last particularly long. Razor turns a piece about a Make-A-Wish kid into his own personal promo.
Nice work, Razor.
Yeah, it was good work. We get a little beach-style promo with Pamela Anderson going off with the Bushwhackers.
As if that would ever happen.
Was there a story in your research about getting DP'd by the Bushwhackers?
There wasn't, no. It might be on that unencyclopedia, I don't know.
I've got something to question here. It's January, is it February, yeah. This pay-per-view takes place?
January.
Summer theme.
It's in Florida. It's always sunny there.
Okay, I'll let it slip.
Did you look up, Adam, the Pickwick Beverage Beast?
No, and I just noticed it's my first note.
I don't know.
It's not Pickwick. I think, wasn't it Bigwig?
Or was it Bigwig?
The Bigwig Beverage Bigwig. Beast. I don't know what the hell it is. I'll put something up on the Facebook page.
I will say, the only funny thing Todd Pettingill has ever said is when it comes back and that thing's on the screen and he's like, Gorilla Monsoon snuck in here. Some guy in the crowd thinks Lex Luger is number one. And my note here says, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Superstars pick their numbers. Backlund talks nonsense. We get a little bit of a cameo from JJ Dillon. Sean claims he has orgies with 29 women.
Probably true.
Yeah, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, I suppose.
Is he married?
At this point, no.
But he is now.
Yeah, he is now. Okay. At this point, he's pissing in girls' faces in hotel rooms. Todd says good match to someone whose match he didn't watch.
Yeah.
Condescending.
He should have said good hair.
Man Mountain Rock plays the national anthem for us.
Who is Man Mountain Rock?
Man Mountain Rock is recent former WCW wrestler Max Payne.
Ah. I'm aware of the game.
He began in WCW as a heel, but had his most notable run as a babyface, teaming with Cactus Jack and feuding with the Nasty Boys. Allegedly fired from WCW for injuring Brian Knobbs and screaming at Eric Bischoff, his pal Rick Rude convinced Vince McMahon to hire him. Debuting in January 1995, Payne was renamed Man Mountain Rock, although the gimmick he played was very similar, if a little more family-friendly. He'd literally do nothing of note in-ring in the WWF and would be released in October 1995 after he had developed an addiction to pain pills, downers and a marijuana habit.
But he can play the guitar.
He's pretty nifty on it, actually. Yeah.
Sounded all right.
The thing he's most known for in the WWF is filming a ton of backstage footage while he was there and threatening to release it as a documentary, although it's never turned up.
Wow, I bet that'd be quite interesting to see, though.
Absolutely. He also sued Rockstar Games for their use of the name Max Payne. And yes, they settled out of court. Todd introduces us to NFL star Lawrence Taylor in the crowd. Wonder if he'll play a part.
I wonder,
yes. Without it.
Todd Pettingill actively makes me not want to order these pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it. I kind of fast-forward it, but just to see how close I was, I'd occasionally just play it. And it's just cringeworthy.
Did you catch the part where he speaks like a redneck? He intimates all WWF fans are rednecks.
No.
I bet somebody's sitting home right now going, I don't know if I'm on the order or not. I'd like to hear him say it a little bit louder.
Adam, do you remember that bit?
I remember his hair.
It mainly is his hair that upsets me.
It's almost like he's kind of got a mullet, but he's fixed it in place. It looks like a plastic mullet.
It's not good.
No.
And finally, we get a little bit of a promo with superstars leaving voicemails for Pamela Anderson. I like to think she went with Doink. And my other note here is that Lawler meant to ring her daughter.
Yeah.
Bad man.
Pamela, next year. Can't wait to see you after the Rumble. We'll go out and paint the town red, white, and blue. Later.
Hey, Pam, Big Daddy Cool here. Hey, after the Rumble, why don't you and I go out and paint the town black and chrome? Give me a call, baby.
30 WWF Superstars.
Yo, Pam, babe.
I have a great kid here. Couldn't help but notice you checking me out on the beach after I win the Rumble.
Hey, baby Sue baby. This is Double J. How about it? It's going to be a double treat the night of the Rumble. I'm winning it.
Hey, Pamela, what do you say after I win the Royal Rumble? You win Prince of Prince.
Two girls.
Hey, Baywatch lady, I can't wait to see you in Tampa. Oh, yeah, after the Rumble, the King's going to give
the
you
World
the
Wrestling
Royal
Federation
treatment.
Presents the Royal Rumble live tonight on pay-per-view.
What a night it's going to be.
Ray Rougeau gives us some Rumble promos for Coliseum Video, Bundy, Sione, Owen, and the Bulldog. Bulldog thinks he's going to win because he's the biggest.
Yeah.
He's certainly the muscliest.
It is kind of, that's how Vince books it, isn't it? So
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And a limo arrives with Pam in, and the world's biggest collection of cretins arrive to meet her.
No, that's
did not... you spot who was in that little crowd?
Yes, Jimmy Del Rey.
I knew you were going to say Jimmy Del Rey, but the rest of it.
The Bushwhackers.
Mabel, Tatonka, King Kong Bundy, Doink and Dink.
Lots of people that...
It's not a Sterling advert for the WWF, is it?
Would definitely stand a chance with her.
Yes, definitely. I quite like the Beach Boys-esque summer-type theme music. It's good.
It's all right, yeah.
Paul, you're a bit perturbed by it being January.
I am.
I don't mind, but the theme of the show is actually okay. I think, you know, the summery-type thing is quite good.
I think if there was a time to do this gimmick, SummerSlam. Yeah. I mean, it is obvious.
They can't really have Pamela Anderson there and have a wintry theme, though.
Yeah.
I don't care.
She's right in the middle of a Baywatch run at the minute.
Well, she literally did a lot of running, didn't she?
Mostly.
She was definitely
did.
A main eventer in Baywatch, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Headline act every week against David Hasselhoff.
Our hosts for this evening are Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler. Vince runs down the card for us. Pleased to see King back on commentary, Adam?
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Are you happy with his performance this time around?
Well, kind of thinking ahead to what we witness later, I think they're settling down, this pair. I mean, one thing that I certainly noticed more tonight is that Vince is actually calling more moves and he's saying the word maneuver a lot less frequently.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's got JR in his headset.
And I think the word kiss has only been used once.
We definitely spotted the word kiss, yes. Our first match of the evening is Jeff Jarrett versus Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title.
How many times has Razor Ramon opened the card since we started this?
Loads.
King of the Ring 93. SummerSlam 93.
Survivor Series.
King of the Ring. Yes, on Survivor Series.
And this one.
He's a good opening match performer.
He is, but it's amazing, isn't it, really? What a run.
Did you spot who's in Jeff Jarrett's corner there?
I did. It's the Road Dog.
Jeff Jarrett's roadie, a.k.a. Brian Armstrong. Yes, a.k.a. the Road Dog. Made his TV debut on the 5th of December 1994 episode of Raw during a Double J match against the British Bulldog. This title defence for Razor Ramon was announced on the 24th of December episode of WWF Superstars. They come out to relative silence, Jarrett and the roadie.
Mm. Yeah. Do people care?
Not yet. Yeah. I think they get into them as the match goes on.
Yeah.
They are fairly irritating heels.
I think, you know, the roadie's pretty good, actually. His taunting and swaggering round and interference is, yeah.
Yeah, so for I guess he was still quite young at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he actually, throughout the match, does a decent job in his corner. But, I mean, we've got to talk about Jeff Jarrett.
His flashing hat and glasses. Adam?
I'd imagine it's fashion suicide, but...
But I want one.
But I'd quite like some flashing glasses.
I couldn't work out if his boots were flashing as well, or if that was just a reflection.
I thought that his boots were flashing, but, yeah, I couldn't be sure. It might just be flashing off something else.
Maybe it's those, like, little shoes that kids get, which have, like, a flashing heel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you walk.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that.
But it's just the most wankerish outfit, isn't it? Every outfit that he has is the most wankerish outfit.
Wouldn't you like a wrestler to wrestle in heelies?
Or the ones with the little wheels.
Yeah. They could slide around the ring.
It'd be brilliant. Just going down the ramp to the ring. Get a point of pace. In fact, I'd like to see Sin Cara do that, glide down to the ring, then hop on his little trampoline.
Razor is out next to his usual solid pop, new pants.
Gold on gold with like a purple stroke going around the letters and the razor blades.
I thought it was more yellow than gold.
I hedging my bet, so I put yellowy gold.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
But I thought, I don't know.
Sitting on the side of neutrality there.
I quite liked him. I thought they were all right.
Golden shower again. He's got that pyro now each time. On commentary, Vince references Buddy Rogers as the originator of the figure four leg lock.
Is that accurate?
Probably.
Fair enough.
That's one of At WrestleMath's favourite moves, by the way.
The figure four leg lock?
Yes.
Yeah. Razor chants before even the match has started.
And the five knuckle shuffle.
Jarrett attacks but misses a clothesline and bumps around for Razor's fists. Razor catches and nails the sack of shit, followed by the choke bottom. We're running through Razor's routine very, very quickly here as Jarrett bails to the outside to consult with the roadie.
A really good choke bottom, though.
Yeah, it was a good start, a good quick start.
Lockup leads to an arm drag for Jeff Jarrett, followed by a strut. He's going with this same dealie as we saw at Survivor Series. Every time he's successful at something, we get a bit of a strut.
I love the way that the roadie struts in parallel to him as well. Yeah. That's brilliant.
They've got their act down, do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Vince tells us the whole Jarrett using the WWF as a platform to stardom in country music story again. It doesn't make any more sense than it has before.
I don't think anyone's buying that, are they?
No. Waistlock reversals and Jarrett gets the advantage for another strut. Hammerlock and wristlock reversals. Again, Jarrett gets the advantage and schools Razor on the mat with slaps to the back of the bad guy's head.
That didn't go down well with the crowd.
No, he's managing to get heat now. Considering he walked out to silence, he's done enough to get himself some heat.
He acts like enough of a dickhead in the ring to make people hate him.
Well, I think it is twofold. I think actually at this stage, Razor is quite a good opponent for him. Razor being so over, you know, anything that you do is going
to be. Being a dickhead to him, you think is a key to getting over. Yep. Razor can't keep up with the wrestling side of things and goes back to fists before clotheslining Jarrett over the top. Vince tells us the rules for winning a title, you know, just in case we might need to know that for later on. The whole count out DQ business. Jarrett challenges Razor to a test of strength, claiming Razor as a chicken.
Yeah.
You liked his little taunts there?
Yeah, sort of points at his head a lot, doesn't he?
A second test of strength attempt, and Razor provides shoulder blocks. Razor with slaps to the back of Jarrett's head, and a nice drop kick by Jarrett. In fact, three nice drop kicks in a row.
Yeah, they were quite quick, and he gets good height on them.
Pinpoint accuracy as well.
The most I think I probably saw of Jarrett was TNA, like in 2006, that sort of time where he was winning everything. And I really didn't like him. But the more of this that we watch, the more we see him in this era, I kind of think he's all right, actually.
He's a pretty decent worker. I get the feeling, though, he's not that invested in the country music singer gimmick. I don't feel that that's him.
And would you want to be invested in that gimmick?
No, like I say, it's a bit of a silly story to be given. And I don't necessarily feel he's putting his all into that character because he doesn't want to do it.
But yeah, like you say, he's a decent worker.
He gets a very, very soft clothesline for a two count. It was no Bruce Hart.
Certainly not.
Jarrett misses an enziguri, Razor misses an elbow, and Jarrett goes for a chin lock. It's been a fairly brisk pace so far, so I can live with a bit of a rest hold here.
Yeah, if I'm honest, though, I mean, I have been relatively entertained, but I've got in my notes that it's not been the smoothest of matches so far. It's a little clunky at times. There's some good moves.
Do you think they don't quite mesh yet?
I certainly don't think that they mesh. If you look back a couple of episodes to the work with Shawn Michaels
and Razor,
like when we're talking about the opening few minutes, that was the TV match.
Yeah.
The opening kind of a minute or so of that, which was electric, everything was just synchronous, if that's the right tense of the word. And this wasn't.
Okay. One thing I will say is that Jarrett is sort of, he's not click, but he's on the peripheral of the click. He's that when they get split into the two crews, from what I've read, Jarrett would travel with the Razors or whoever was on the route he was on. He's not full member of that group, but he's kind of there.
Okay.
Razor gets out of the chin lock and gets a backslide for a two. Jarrett tries a sunset flip, but gets a fist to the face. I do like that spot where he sort of dances for a while and then just punches in the face. Quick fire exchanges lead to a number of two counts for both men. Jarrett leaps onto Razor's back for a sleeper hold, but Razor gets out. However, Jarrett gets a neck breaker. Jarrett gets a couple of pins with his feet on the ropes.
Well, I like the way that he's getting told off a couple of times by the ref, and then he goes up a ring rope.
In case the ref can't see that high.
Yeah.
Razor slides out of the ring after charging Jarrett in the corner, trips Jarrett and drags him bollock first into the turnbuckle.
And I thought this looked like a really painful bollock shot, actually. I think normally they look a bit tamer than this. I think he properly rammed him into it.
I thought that was quite a smooth exchange.
That was better, yeah. But it's one of those things that there's still nice stuff that they do, but it's just the overall feel.
There's a millisecond of delay almost.
Yeah, it just isn't as tight as it could be.
Razor goes for a clothesline, but Jarrett tosses the bad guy to the outside, who picks up a knee injury, which is then chop blocked by the roadie. And we all know how devastating the chop block is. Vince describes it as an old fashioned clip. And at that point, all I could think of was that South Park episode with getting an old fashioned.
Yep, the roadie
gave Razor an old fashioned.
What?
Hand job.
Oh.
Razor struggles back to his feet, but is counted out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Match over.
Job done. Jarrett grabs a mic and says he didn't come here to get his hand raised. He says he came here to take the title. Surely if you're taking the title, you get your hand raised.
Well, yeah.
He could have been a bit more specific with his promo there.
I quite liked it. At least it makes sense.
But you're not always thinking of this. Well, the match is over. Tough titties. But apparently, if you just call him a chicken enough over the mic, the ref just restarts the match. So that's how that works.
He claims Razor needs to get back in the ring to finish the match or he's a coward. A chicken chant doesn't really take. Razor, being a babyface, comes back to the ring despite his injury. It's one of those difficult balances to strike with babyfaces when you do things like this. Do they A, look valiant, or B, look stupid?
Well, I think they usually come across as valiant.
Okay.
I mean, we all know that they're stupid, but when you've got somebody like Razor, you want to see them, and you want to see them prevail, so...
But he's quite a cool babyface, so does not coming back to the ring when he's injured make him look a bit stupid?
Mm. It perhaps does, but it's one of those things, again, if you really believe in your own ability, you could be playing possum, so it could be...
Yeah.
It could be using the old
mind
head game.
Games.
Yeah. No, I'm always a big fan of them going back and...
Okay.
Yeah, because if you're a babyface, the crowd should want to see you in the ring kicking ass.
Okay.
And not walking away.
But yes, the match restarts. Jarrett dances around Razor, mocking his leg, but Razor grabs him and gets a quick schoolboy for a two. A small package for a two before Jarrett gets a shin breaker on Ramon. SmackDown knee smash as well. Another one of my favourite SmackDown moves, where you lift people up and slam them back down. Rhodey screams on the outside, "You ain't so bad now, are you, guy?" And I liked that. That was a good line. He kind of does it twice, loses its impact, but I don't know, maybe he thought the mic didn't pick him up.
And something I completely forgot from the start of this match, just bring it up now, that Razor had a very snazzy waistcoat.
You did mention before we started recording that you would be using the word snazzy tonight.
Number one. Razor's snazzy waistcoat.
Did you notice now it says bad guy on the back rather than Razor Ramon?
I did notice. And at some point when Jeff Jarrett is accusing Razor of cowardice, does he not bring up the yellow tights and talk about a yellow streak as well?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
I thought that was a nice tie-in to his pants. I think every pay-per-view should have a reference to Razor's pants by his opponent.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that.
Adam will anyway.
Jarrett works over Razor's knee on the ropes. Razor manages to kick him over the top rope, but it doesn't really stop the assault. Jarrett applies the figure four, and Razor really works the hold for the crowd, agonising to reverse the hold, but he can't quite do it. He really got the crowd into him getting out of that hold, and when it's definite that he's not going to get out of it, did you notice it just drops off completely? Yeah. He does manage to sit up, though, and punch Jarrett out of the hold. Jarrett tries fists, but as ever, Razor has the advantage. Razor sets Jarrett up on the top rope for a back body drop, but Jarrett reverses it, as does Razor, for a two count.
That was a weird bit. I don't know if that was a botch or if that's what was planned, but again, wasn't as smooth as it should have been.
I do like that spot, though.
No, I liked it. It was interesting, but I couldn't quite work out what it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be a back body drop reversed into a pin, reversed into another pin.
It's that smoothness going from the body drop into the pin, though, isn't it?
Okay.
That's critical, I think, to how it looks.
Razor signals for the Razor's Edge, but his knee buckles and Jarrett grabs a small package for the three to win the IC title.
The crowd really popped for the gesture that he's going to do the Razor's Edge. It's is it the most over move at the minute?
It's pretty over.
He should have a gesture for the choke bottom.
What would that be?
I can't say it, but he should have one. But the crowd was silent. I mean, you're right, the crowd do pop for the kind of the gesture, but the actual win by Jarrett is met with pretty much dead silence.
I thought this, though, was a pretty smartly worked match, with the smaller heel needing the advantage to get sympathy on the bigger babyface. And you have the sort of contrasting styles between Razor's big moves and fists against Jarrett's sort of more technical stuff. I thought this was a pretty good match.
Yeah, I quite liked it. Very, very nice. I didn't see the end of it coming. I firmly believe that Razor was going to win in the end.
Yeah,
so it was actually a little bit of a Jarrett would.
It was a surprise. I quite like, for the most part, in fact, actually for all of it, I like the story. I like Jarrett. I really like Razor. But although the match was good, I wouldn't say it was as good as it could have been, just in terms of the in-ring performance. It was decent, but nothing special.
Do you think it's something they could improve upon if they were to have another match on pay-per-view?
I'm hoping that they'll have another match on pay-per-view.
Is this the right time for somebody else to be Intercontinental Champion? I mean, he's perennially been that man since we've started.
Well, I kind of think it'd be a nice thing if it's done right, because actually I think Razor deserves to be taking a step up the card personally,
Adam?
Particularly with the lack of stars around.
Yeah, I'm with Paul on this actually. Like taking the belt off him might be a way of moving him up onto the next tier. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly what they did with Diesel, wasn't it? They took the belt off him at SummerSlam, and by Survivor Series he's moving up.
And it seemed logical. I mean, there's not many people there that are getting equal reactions to Razor Ramon on a consistent basis. So if you're going off popularity, then, you know, sure, push him. There's loads of people then foam razor blades that I really want.
Well, I saw a couple.
Yes, Vince, I'm standing by waiting for our new Intercontinental Champion, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, but he's not here yet. However, I understand that Todd Pettengill is in Pamela Anderson's dressing room. That sounds very interesting. Why don't we go ahead to you, Todd?
All right, Steph, thank you very much. Pamela Anderson, look at all this stuff in here.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. I'm being spoiled. All these wrestlers are so generous.
This is incredible. Look at this. From the Head Shrinkers, of course. We've got sardines from the Bushwhackers.
Bulldog.
British Bulldog. Oh. Oop. Henry Godwin, the Hog. This is great. What do you got in the box?
I got this from Lex. This is really nice. I wear this to bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. Picture from Shawn Michaels of himself. How typical. How about my gift? Did you get that, Pam?
Yeah, I did. It's around here somewhere.
The big horseshoe roses. Yeah, can I see it?
Nice thought. It was nice.
Can I see it?
Okay.
Yeah.
The price tag's still on it.
No, that's not what I sent. I sent a big,
This is the thought that counts. It's really, really beautiful.
Would you like a piece of candy?
I try not to touch the stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm dropping. Let's go back to Stephanie.
Well, I guess Todd's the man. I have the new Intercontinental Champion, Razor Ramon. Double J, Jeff Jarrett, he's right here. What do you have to say about this, Double J?
The greatest stop of all on the Ain't I Great Tour 95, baby. This is the biggest. Oh, celebrate. You talk about celebrate. I ain't got time for interviews. I'm celebrating. You know who I'm starting with. She wants to see me right now. Pamela Sue, baby. I'm on my way. Celebration time.
Let's go,
celebration. Ain't I great, baby?
Yes.
Stephanie Wyand is backstage with nobody. However, Todd is in Pam's dressing room.
Trying to touch her in some way.
It sounds very interesting. She has a ton of shit from WWF superstars. Lex Luger bought her his own t-shirt.
How generous.
But she sleeps in it, so she obviously quite likes it.
Sean got a picture of himself.
I like that, yeah.
And we cut back to Stephanie, who is with new IC champ Razor Ramon. No, wait, that's Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett and the roadie cut a little bit of a promo. They're happy about winning the belt. And Jarrett says he's off to find Pamela Sue, which I did like.
Pamela Sue?
It's a country thing. Peggy Sue, I don't know. Our next match is The Undertaker versus IRS.
It's the one we've all been waiting for.
As it got built up in the main event of the last pay-per-view. And now it's in the second match on this card. Yeah. On the 31st of December edition of WWF Superstars, The Undertaker appeared on Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak Hotel, where Michaels announced that IRS would face off with the Dead Man at the Royal Rumble. Taker claimed that at Royal Rumble, IRS would have to pay, not to the government, but to the Reaper.
Ah.
As briefly mentioned at Survivor Series, IRS appeared on television repossessing flowers and funeral plots and had druids accompanying him to the ring for matches. I guess as far as making the feuds about aspects of the characters, it makes sense. That's about the only way it makes sense, though.
I wouldn't.
They're
really.
At least trying to find the IRS character an in-character reason for feuding with The Undertaker.
Yeah, I quite like it.
I get that. That's fair enough. Am I reading it wrong, or is The Undertaker on this upper shelf and IRS isn't on the same shelf?
Correct.
Yet he's having a feud with him.
Correct.
It just seems a little bit
incongruous.
Yes,
it's
good word.
Just there because there's no one else for Taker to feud with.
I've got some bad news.
There's loads of people for him to feud with
that are just not on his level.
Yeah.
The whole of 1995, The Undertaker has a bit of a raw deal of it.
To be fair, I mean, I don't think The Undertaker's performances have been bad, but I don't think we've seen a good Undertaker match just because of the opponents he's had.
Well, yeah, that's it. And I think I said as far back as episode 2, when he was having the match with Giant Gonzalez, it's really Foley's introduction in 1996 that rejuvenates that Undertaker character and gives him an opponent that can actually have some decent matches with him.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we've got a long old slog before we get there. So IRS is out first. And he cuts his promo. Copy and paste.
Yeah. You don't pay your taxes, you're going to have to pay them.
Yeah, and you won't rest in peace until you have.
Yes.
He's going to make sure of that and dig up your corpse or something.
And also, I'm going to note here that the IRS has a snazzy tie. Numero duh.
Taker is out next to his usual decent pop. Despite the scrubs he feuds with, The Undertaker remains over. He doesn't, however, get a special video wall entrance this time.
No, it's definitely scaled down from the last one we saw him.
I do like, right at the start, he's talking about, I think Vince is saying, that the IRS is one of the better technical wrestlers to rival Bret Hart.
Yeah, I've got that noted down.
We discussed that.
As good as Bret Hart.
I'm not...
Spot on.
I'm not sure it's true.
Me neither. Ted DiBiase and Paul Bearer are in IRS and Taker's respective corners. IRS waits on the outside for ages until Taker turns away to look at Paul Bearer when he then sneaks into the ring and dropkicks Taker for a no-sell. He goes back to the outside and this pattern continues, but I guess at least it's not a chin lock.
Yeah.
Taker follows IRS to the outside as IRS stalks Paul Bearer. Shyster sneaks inside and attacks Taker on his return, which again
doesn't work. Taker grabs IRS by his Achilles tie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were saying before he should have a clip-on. And yep. I noticed that when the Undertaker comes out, it's not a clip-on, but it has an easy release
mechanism
for Paul Bearer to make use of.
He uses the tie, though, to hit a really bad Beal. Lawler claims Vince is part of the NFL, the National Federation of Losers.
Genius.
Taker hits old school. DiBiase gets up on the apron and IRS goes to attack Taker, but Taker moves. IRS avoids nailing DiBiase and Taker hurls him to the outside. IRS and Ted have a bit of an argument on the outside and Ted waves out some druids. At this point, IRS gives the Million Dollar Man a hug. There's a nice moment there between those two.
Yeah, who are these druids?
Tatanka was one on Raw. I imagine it's just somebody with nothing better to...
Whoever they've got. Whoever,
yeah, one of them was certainly quite tall.
They were clearly in wrestler's pants as well. You could spot that. So it's probably the Heavenly Bodies.
It wasn't Razor Ramon.
You'd recognise those. A druid gets up on the apron and IRS misses another attack. This match is entirely just IRS attempting to attack the Undertaker and failing miserably. Yeah. A druid shakes Taker down off the ropes, which takes ages as well. From another old school attempt, we get the sit-up spot and IRS clotheslines Taker to the outside, but he lands on his feet and just goes after the druids. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about the sit-up spot, it's happening a lot and it's a really cool spot and I really like it, but I think at the minute it's being a little bit
overplayed.
Yeah, just too predictable at the minute.
It's a difficult match, this one, in that IRS wrestles such a boring style. Putting him in there with Undertaker, it's not exactly going to lead to something exciting, is it? I'm not saying the Giant Gonzalez match or any of the Kamala stuff was any better, but they at least feed into his character, whereas IRS's routine doesn't really feed into what the Undertaker character does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're not very complimentary, are they?
No.
I kind of feel that, I mean, it is certainly a one-sided match, but this should have been booked as a squash.
IRS finally attacks successfully and throws Taker into the steel steps. He then gets Undertaker in an abdominal stretch and it looks really weird. Yeah. The Undertaker being in an abdominal stretch. Have you ever seen anyone else do that, There probably has been somebody.
It looks kind of odd just because the size difference in the two guys. Yeah. The smaller guy doing an abdominal stretch on a bigger guy looks peculiar. A big guy doing one on a small guy looks fine.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a dominant move, isn't it?
Yeah.
But having little IRS do it on giant Undertaker
is... I think there is something to be said for having the right moves, if that makes sense. It's like, I think some people talk about having the right finisher for a particular size of person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't really have somebody that's kind of a moderate size, maybe someone like CM Punk size. You can't necessarily have, like, a big chokeslam. It just wouldn't fit with the character.
No.
And having something that's appropriate to them. And you need something appropriate to a match.
Yeah,
And this isn't appropriate to
But this is what I was saying about IRS's style not really matching The Undertaker. It just doesn't look right. If he's doing it on Virgil, who gives a shit? But on The Undertaker, it just looks odd. Taker counters out of the stretch with a hip toss anyway. Another sit-up spot after a missed Taker elbow, and IRS hits a clothesline followed by some elbows of his own. IRS misses a splash, and they collide mid-ring, which looks slightly bungled.
Yeah.
But it may have been intentional. In comes a druid who drags IRS on top of Taker for a two count, and then another sit-up spot. IRS runs into a druid, because he's a dunce, and Taker sets him up for the tombstone before kicking the druids off the apron.
Yeah.
IRS escapes and knocks the Undertaker down, and Paul Bearer is a bit upset. Undertaker then, just really out of nowhere, finishes IRS with the chokeslam because he can't even be asked to do the tombstone for the three.
Well, again, with this, you've got this odd thing because early on in the match, you've got the druids come to interfere. It gets to a critical stage where we've hit a chokeslam, we're going for a pin attempt. They're just standing there on their outside.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I always think it's slightly awkward when you have these matches where there's times where people are willing to interfere.
And
there's a time where you've got nothing to lose because your employee or whatever.
Your charge,
is going to lose and there's no point in not just being disqualified.
Yeah.
It's just one of those little, again, there's not many good ways around it, but it hurts wrestling, I think, at times.
Mm. Suddenly, the druids attack, but one gets a chokeslam. King Kong Bundy enters and squares off with the Undertaker.
He does. It looked to me, and I didn't watch it back, but I should give it a second watch, that chokeslam looked more of a head slam. I swear he just grabbed him by his head.
So King Kong Bundy's there, and there's your WrestleMania match, folks.
Well, I'm looking forward to that one.
I guess, at least in a way, Bundy looks like more of a credible opponent for the Undertaker.
Yeah.
IRS attacks Paul Bearer and robs the urn as Bundy splashes Taker in the corner.
It's quite nice. It's something fresh happening with, you know, taking the urn. That's a good move. You know, yeah. keep it new. Keep it original.
Bearer urges Taker to get up after the $1 Million Corporation have left. And we're going to keep a running tally, folks, by the way, for 1995. $1 Million Corporation, their record on pay-per-view. 1995 beginning. 0 wins and 1 loss. Okay?
Okay.
We're all
okay.
with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
IRS didn't look like a credible opponent for The Undertaker at all. At least it wasn't one long chin lock. What did you reckon?
Poor.
Yeah, not great.
Shall we move on?
There's not an awful lot to say about it. I mean, I think the Druids are trying to try and spoon them into add a bit more interest into the match. But again, like, who cares? We don't even know who they are. What are they doing? And they're quite ineffectual as well. They don't help IRS in any way.
It's one of these things that sometimes you really want to like a match, because I'm a big fan of Taker.
And a big fan of IRS.
Well, you know, I watched the first couple of pay-per-views and I didn't mind him. I wouldn't say like I was all over him thinking he's amazing, but I didn't hate him. Yeah, just really let down.
All right, standing with Big Daddy Cool Diesel in his dressing room here. Earlier on, Deez, you were talking to us on the Action Zone, reading the comics, the funny pages. How you feeling now? Match coming up.
Well, you know, it's a very important match. You know, that was then, this is now, Todd. It's not the time, all right?
Okay, but if I could just ask you one question. You know, when the hitman and you...
Todd, please. Not now.
Okay. Folks, I'm sitting with the hitman, Bret Hart, getting ready for the match. Bret, you know, I just talked to Diesel. He really didn't want to talk about it. He was a whole lot different than he was earlier on today on the Action Zone. Not quite as loose as he was. But let me ask you, this has got to be weighing heavy on your mind. Your chance. I mean, this is your moment in the spotlight to recapture the WWF Championship. I mean, let's talk about it.
What's there to talk about? You know, I lost the title, Survivor Series, and all I've thought about ever since, from that day on till right now, to this, as the clock ticks closer to the match, is all I've thought about is winning back that title. I'm going to win back that title. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if anybody care. I know people like Diesel. Hey, I like Diesel. But this is business. This is war, and I want the title back.
Speaking about Diesel, the jackknife, we talked about it a little bit on the Action Zone. If he gets you in that jackknife and the legs, and I mean, how can you possibly get up?
If everything's if, you know, I'll cross that road when I get to it, okay? Good night. I got to think, okay?
All right, fine. Folks, obviously both competitors feeling a little differently as this match draws nearer. There you have it.
Earlier today, Todd spoke with Diesel, who doesn't want to talk. Bret was a tad more talkative, and basically he wants the title back.
I think Bret has improved a lot with his talking since the first episode we watched, that King of the Ring 93. I mean, he's not shouting, so it's not your cup of tea, I'm afraid, Adam, but he's saying things with more passion, with more conviction,
Adam,
and I like that.
He's all right. I just think it kind of made Todd Pettingill out to be kind of useless here.
It's not hard.
Well... He tried to talk to two people and he gets half an answer off one of them.
So, as discussed earlier, Diesel captured the WWF title from Bob Backlund days after Backlund defeated Bret Hart at the Survivor Series. On the first post-Survivor Series Raw, Bret spoke to Vince via telephone and informed the audience that he would take a month off due to stretched ligaments. Yes, he's off to film a TV show. On the same episode, Diesel cut his first babyface promo, where he claimed that it was Shawn Michaels' fault his team lost at Survivor Series.
Right, yeah, it was.
Yeah, fair play. And that Bob Backlund couldn't put the chicken wing on him. He also said that Bret could have a title shot anytime he wanted one. Very little was actually done to promote this match. Diesel's promos on television were more targeted towards Shawn Michaels. Equally, Shawn's were about Diesel. Bret was off television for the majority of the gap between pay-per-views, and when he did return, it was to attack Owen. The most recent former champion, Bob Backlund, was all over Raw, cutting promos on Diesel, the highlight of which may be the 19th of December episode, where Bob calls Diesel, gasp, Kevin Nash.
Ooh.
It's a shoot, folks. Would we have preferred Diesel versus Bob Backlund here, or would that have been a bit of a mess?
I like Bob Backlund.
Yeah, I like Bob Backlund. I'm not upset by the fact that he's facing Bret Hart, but I wouldn't have been upset to have him face Bob Backlund either.
It's a shame they hadn't invented triple threats in the WWF yet.
Do they not exist at this point?
Smoky Mountain have had them, ECW have had them, but it's not made it to WWF really yet.
Wow.
Had you not noticed, we'd never seen any.
No, you pointed out, yeah. It seems so mainstay now in today's wrestling, doesn't it? You know.
So our next match is new WWF champion Diesel versus Bret the Hitman Hart for the WWF title in the middle of the card. But that's okay. It's the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
This is the time I'm okay with it.
Yeah, okay. The Rumble match can eclipse any other match, really, can't it?
Also, that Rumble match builds your contender for WrestleMania, where the title match should be the main event. So in essence, it should get over one half of the main event to get there. So
yes. It's fair enough.
I may be slightly hypocritical in being okay with this, but that's me.
I think that's fine.
Bret is out first to a pretty big reaction, and he now gets some fireworks.
Yeah, I think it's a good pop for Brett.
Brett now also has a pendant to give to a kid as well. So he gives the glasses to one kid. Pendant.
I thought he just looked a bit confused, like he was destined to give it to a particular kid and wasn't quite sure
which one to give it to.
Which one to give it to. But I do like the tassels on his jacket. I'm thinking I should get shoulder tassels for my jacket.
You should do, Scrib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd look good. Diesel has actual music now.
I know. Yeah, just,
I'm a big fan of that.
A bit of harmonica.
Yeah. Prefer it to the noise of a truck.
Yes. To the offensive sound.
I know we commented on last time, but the video wall with the kind of smash.
I like that.
I really like that. I thought it was brilliant.
Has he got some sort of like, is it curtain or glass that comes down?
Yeah. Sort of smashes when
it's
comes
like the Stone Cold thing, isn't it?
Only not quite.
Yeah, it's a bit primitive version of, but look good, I thought. Yeah.
He also has a tinfoil vest now.
Yes.
In case he needs to bake himself.
He gets nowhere near as big a reaction as Brett.
No.
I mean, I couldn't necessarily work out where he was in the kind of the heel face scheme of things at the minute with the reaction that he got.
Well, he's turned baby face, but I do wonder if it's one of those examples of when they turn a heel baby face, he then stops getting the cheers because he's not as cool as he was when he was a heel.
Mm. It kind of felt that way because it was actually pretty over before.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's just one of those things as being a heel that people like, so we'll get you cheers.
He shakes hands with LT and some guy with a mullet.
Well,
it was a nice mullet. It's a bit receding, but it was nice.
LT, that they talk about number 56?
Yeah.
Is that his number, presumably?
I presume so.
Because, I mean, 56 is quite an interesting number.
Oh, here we go.
Mathematically. Because it's actually the sum of the first six triangular numbers. Making it.
Didn't you put this on Twitter a while ago?
No, I'm going to go into that. But it... 56, because it's the sum of the first six triangular numbers, or it's the sum of some triangular numbers, makes it a tetrahedral number, triangular-based pyramid. The tweet that you're referring to, Stuart, is the one that I did on the day of WrestleMania when I was doing about the number 30. The number 30 is the sum of the first four square numbers.
Right, okay. I thought I remembered something.
Yeah. 56 is actually, coincidentally, it's the sum of the first six odd prime numbers.
Thanks for that.
At WrestleMass.
That was valid that time. I'll give you that. Diesel wants to knock fists with Brett, and I can't work out whether Brett's gesture is, yeah, I'm cool with that, or no, fuck off with your fist bump.
I guess it's open to interpretation, Stuart.
They lock up to open, and Diesel obviously has the strength advantage. Brett goes for a waist lock, but Diesel gets to the ropes, and a shoving match turns into fisticuffs. Brett goes for a crossbody early on, but Diesel gets a slam. Diesel clotheslines Brett to the outside, and Brett getting back in gets more fisticuffs, and he falls back to the outside. Brett grabs Diesel's leg from the outside and wraps it around the ring post. Brett comes back in, has Diesel down, and works the knee. Smart stuff to open, really. Taking out the size difference, it makes sense from Brett's perspective. Yeah. Get the big 7-footer down on the mat. Keep him there.
If you can.
And obviously doing all the knee-based stuff is...
Makes sense for sharpshooters.
Exactly.
I noticed that Stu and Helen haven't attended this one. There's no Hart family in the audience.
Well, they only had the 1994 season ticket.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1995 now. It's expired.
King does say at one point early on, though, that I hate his whole stinking family. I've got that written down. So King's at least keeping their memory alive.
Doesn't he say except Owen, or is that later on?
No, he just
says he might admit Owen, yeah.
Brett applies a figure four, which gets a pretty big pop.
Unusual.
They even observe on commentary that that's not Brett's usual submission hold.
Yeah, yeah.
And he puts it on a couple of times in this match, doesn't he?
Was he showing Jeff Jarrett how to do it better, or... Was he knocking Jarrett down a peg by going, no, I'm doing that fucking move?
Well, I thought, I mean, they mention it a couple of times, and they've kind of hypothesised, I think maybe it's not very easy to necessarily put the sharpshooter on Diesel because of his size.
Is the figure four easier?
I don't know. I'm not a wrestler.
It's a case of,
great.
You need, obviously your sharpshooter is going to be your big move, but in order to make that seem valid against such a powerful person, you need to soften them up with something first. You can't just keep whacking the sharpshooter on early on, because then that detracts from the potency of the move at the end. So use something else to soften him up.
Did you notice something else very smart that Brett does is whenever he's putting these submission holds on Diesel, he drags him to the middle of the ring?
No, I didn't.
Because that bloke's 7 foot and can very easily reach the ropes from many locations within the ring.
Hmm.
So yes. You would drag them dead centre to keep them as far away from the ropes as possible.
That's smart.
Diesel gets to the ropes and Brett risks a DQ for a second, not letting go. Brett drags Diesel back to the centre of the ring and reapplies the figure four. Again, Diesel gets to the ropes and Brett takes advantage of the five count to not let go. He's doing some little subtle heel stuff again. Not enough to be a full out heel, but just enough not to undercut Diesel as a babyface, I thought.
Haven't we seen this before?
Yes.
Yeah, where it's like Brett just alters his moveset if there's two baby faces to just be slightly on that side of
cusp of it.
Yeah, it's kind of moral ambiguity rather than full on heel.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm beginning to appreciate about him. I have gained a massive appreciation, I think, over the course of the kind of the span of the podcast thus far, because I've always known him as a good technical wrestler, but it's these little nuances that are just delicious.
I will say, there is so much better stuff to come from Brett. I know we've seen a lot of great stuff with the Owen Cage match, the Owen match at WrestleMania and stuff like that, but honestly, there is so much great stuff. In the direness that is 1995, he has some great matches with some unlikely opponents, and then in 96, late 96, when Steve Austin turns up, it really kicks into another gear. So I know you're saying you're appreciating him now, but God, there's just so much better stuff to come, so it'll be really good for you to see that.
Well, it's nice that you know, I'm really genuinely looking forward to seeing his matches now. It's kind of the matches coming up, I'm going to the edge of my seat now, because I know I'm going to just enjoy it.
Diesel retreats to the outside, but Brett hits a Pescado to take Big Daddy Cool down. Brett rams Diesel's head into the ring post and attempts to whip Diesel into the steps, but Diesel reverses and Brett goes into them himself. Back in the ring, Diesel takes over, but with a visible limp, making the effort to sell.
Yeah, he is. And he did it a lot this match. I commend Diesel selling.
Elbows in the corner from Nash, having a big slide slam for a two count.
I mean, the elevation that he gets on that is amazing.
It's quite impressive.
We normally see Kane's always doing side slams, isn't he?
Yeah.
But this was a massive side slam.
A boss man attack on the ropes by Diesel, a backbreaker, and Diesel stretches Brett across his knee.
That was a really nice move. And then he does another move, which is, I'm not quite sure what it's called, but it's like a torture back, but rotated or something.
Okay.
Which I liked.
Diesel goes back to the elbows in the corner, and Diesel gets Brett up on his shoulder for a backbreaker. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. It's what Bam Bam did to him at King of the Ring 93, if you remember that.
Hmm. Vaguely.
But Brett gets out and attempts a sleeper hold, but Diesel throws the hitman off. A big boot off the ropes by Diesel and an elbow drop for a two. Brett blocks a Diesel charge in the corner and hits a second rope clothesline. Brett goes to the top, but Diesel catches him, but Brett falls into a pin and Diesel throws Brett to the outside.
That was another one of those moves where I wasn't quite sure if it was intended or kind of improvised.
It looked good, I thought.
It was one of those things. I don't mind stuff like that in some senses, because it's interesting and it's different. Because it wasn't clearly a boss, it could have been intended.
Diesel throws Brett to the outside, and again, Brett drags Diesel leg first into the corner, this time using his wrist tape to tie Diesel's legs around the ring post.
I thought this is kind of another heel nod.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really interesting move and something quite innovative, I guess, for
95.
For 95. And I thought it was interesting as well that Earl Hebner untied it.
It was kind of him.
Presumably to later sell it on in a car park.
Are we ever going to stop with that?
No.
Good. Brett then attacks Diesel with boots in the corner as Earl Hebner frees him. Yeah, my note here then says selling the tape to someone in the front row. You got to my gag before I got there. Brett hits a bulldog for a two, a Russian leg sweep for a two, and I love the way Brett rolls out of the Russian leg sweep.
Mm.
It's so fluid the way he does it. I know you said that about the smoking guns in the last one. Brett's is very good as well. He hits his backbreaker, which is even perfect on a guy as big as Diesel.
Yeah, impressive.
He then gets a second rope elbow for a two, and Brett looks for the sharpshooter, but Diesel gets to the ropes. Brett clotheslines Diesel to the outside, but he lands on his feet, similar to Taker earlier on. Brett dives over the top rope, but Diesel catches the hitman and rams him into the steel ring post.
That was lovely. That was fluid.
On commentary, Lawler now changes his pick to Diesel. Diesel charges his SmackDown meter in the ring with a taunt signalling for the jackknife. To a mixed reaction,
I thought.
You think they've been doing a lot to put this move over as the be-all and end-all, haven't they? But it's not getting the same pop as the Razor's Edge gets.
No. The jackknife gets a two as Shawn Michaels attacks Diesel and Earl Hebner tries to pull him off. Shawn leaves and Earl tells Fink the match will continue. It kind of gets booed as well, that decision.
Mm. It was odd, because why was that allowed to continue?
Surely it's a DQ, that's the match over.
Yeah, and this is another thing. Surely if you've got a match where you want to retain the title, you get your mate to come and attack you.
Well, your ex-mate.
Yeah, your ex-mate. Well, no, but you could get an actual mate.
Yeah, true.
To come and do like a really rubbish beat down on you. I'd like to see that at some point. Like, just like a really big main event feud that had been building for months and months.
What was that? There was a Randy Orton John Cena match. I think there was obviously a Randy Orton John Cena match. It's either 2008 or 2009 where Orton's defending the title against Cena and he's on the losing side of things. And there's a point where he just stops and then I'm sure he just boots John Cena in the balls and the referee just disqualifies him immediately. And he's just got this smug shit grin on his face like, there you go. With the match restarted, Brett goes after Diesel's knee again. Lawler speculates to collusion between Brett and Sean. Somehow I doubt that. Mm. Another figure four by Brett, and Diesel punches Brett's rib area to get out of it. Unique way of getting out of that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Diesel takes over, attacking Brett's ribs. A big gun wrench suplex by Diesel. That's something we've not seen from him.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked it.
I like that they've both got these weaknesses that they both go after when they get the advantage. So when Brett's on top, he's going after the legs.
Yeah.
And now when Diesel's on top, he's going after the ribs.
Yeah, he kind of had a ribs and back thing going on, didn't he? Which makes sense.
Very focused, yeah. We get a choke with a boot in the corner by Diesel, and Brett goes outside again wrapping Diesel's knee around the ring post. He then gets a chair and sort of knocks Diesel's knee with it.
Yeah.
Again, where exactly is the DQ? Brett does get booed for using the chair.
Interesting, I thought.
But I think he's doing quite a lot here to actually make Diesel seem credible. I think someone like a Hulk Hogan, not mentioning any names, would have come in and acted like the ultra-valiant babyface in front of this new babyface, which would have then just completely undercut what that person was trying to achieve, whereas Brett's at least straying towards the heel side so as to not undercut Diesel's turn.
Brett, I think, is a very generous wrestler.
Yes.
Yeah, he's selfless.
He does, however, then lock on the sharpshooter to cheers.
Yeah.
And out comes Owen to knock Brett off.
And in fact, there was a really nice reaction to the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And this and there, you see the idea of like saving it a little bit later on gets a better reaction from it, doesn't it?
And even Owen kind of carries on the theme with the attacking the chest, because he uncovers the turnbuckle. Irish whip, chest first, Brett goes into the uncovered, exposed turnbuckle.
Yeah.
That would have hurt.
On his way out, Owen shouts, "He's the king of the family," which was very amusing.
And Brett's a loser. Yeah. I love the way he keeps calling him a loser.
Loser.
Again, Hebner tells Fink to tell us the match will continue. My theory here is that his brother is literally like loading loads of foam fingers into a truck. And he's like, no, just keep the match going another 5 minutes. I can get a load more. Diesel drapes an arm over Brett for a two count. He goes to ram Brett's head into the exposed turnbuckle, but Brett blocks and Diesel's head ends up going into it. Brett now gets the upper hand with punches and manages to knock the seven-footer down. Back up, they exchange fists and Brett falls sort of hanging out of the ring, and Diesel goes for a chair, but Brett rolls back into the ring just in time. Now they've both got two disadvantages, as Brett's knee now hurts.
Yeah.
So Diesel's got his leg and his head, and Brett's got his
ribs and his knees.
Ribs and his knees. So on the little SmackDown like character thing,
they're both red.
Yeah, that's the bits that are hurting.
There's probably some yellow and orange as well.
Hebner urges Diesel to give Brett a second to recover, but he's playing possum and gets a small package for a two. Love that.
Yeah, that was nice.
Brett knocks Diesel into Earl Hebner from a waist lock, and now all three men are down. Out comes Sean, Owen, Backlund, Jarrett and the Roadie, and they attack both men as the bell rings. Officials try to pry them off, including what I think is the first appearance of Gerald Briscoe.
Yeah, I noticed Gerald Briscoe. Yeah. I didn't notice Pat Patterson and whether he's wearing trainers or not.
No, I don't think he was there. He was somewhere else tonight. He was on Pamela duty. Fink tells us that due to the inability of the official to maintain control of the contest, this match has been declared a draw. So basically, Earl Hebner has made the match a draw due to his own incompetence.
Why is Jeff Jarrett there?
He's a heel. They want to get him over.
Yeah. It's a good job this match hasn't been overbooked.
The heels return and Backlund slaps the chicken wing on Brett as Diesel fights the others away before kicking Backlund off the Hitman.
That got a big cheer.
They have a bit of a cuddle to signify respect. I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I thought this was very good, just marred by, I think, too many interferences.
Yeah, because, a messy ending.
Because, I mean, we've said about the reliance of Diesel before on Sean, and I think that's valid, but I want to see now what he can do, because I think he has made
improved.
A big transition into a pretty decent in-ring performer, actually. You know, he's not on Brett's level, but he's solid enough that Brett can work a good match with him,
yep.
I think, without this interference, and that detracted from a very good match.
I thought, again, it was smartly worked in a way similar to the opener, both men going after injuries to the opponent. Yes, the crowd pops big for the hug as well, so having Diesel save Brett towards the end, I think, was a positive move.
I think that was a very good move.
Brett as a first opponent for Diesel as title holder, good idea, bad idea?
Good idea.
Good to ease him into it.
I do think you need to make people look like credible wrestlers. I think that's very important.
But does not getting a clean victory hurt his credibility?
He still looked strong because it was a competitive matchup and he saved him at the end. He was fighting off, you know, HBK and Jarrett and people.
But would say having Backlund as that first opponent who has the credibility ability has in beating Brett and being the former champion. You could have had a slightly competitive match and had Diesel go over clean. Would that have boosted his credibility more than having a match with Brett?
You've already spoilt it because you've had the kind of 10-second win.
Yeah, true. Adam, your thoughts on the match quality overall?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was quite nice. Decent pace to it, decent spots in it. I agree with Paul a little bit that there's perhaps too many people that are just chucked into it at every point, and I thought the ending was a bit messy. But apart from that, it was quite nice.
It's a shame that we've had two matches between these two now and neither of us had a clean finish.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still in Pamela Anderson's dressing room. She's getting changed right now. The evening gown she'll be wearing right behind that screen. This is so cool.
Todd.
Can't wait to see what she's wearing.
Todd.
Yes?
Can you pass my, my purse is just over.
I'm sorry,
over
what?
My fuzzy little purse is right over there.
Oh, sure, I'll get it for you. You want me to bring it?
Yeah, that's okay. Please.
Huh?
Please. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Let's go to Stephanie.
Well, I'm here with the 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Sparkplug Holly. It's the Cinderella story. You two weren't even supposed to be in the semifinals. You replaced the Smoking Guns. You get your big shot tonight. You have to be elated. What's going on in your mind?
You know, that's right, Stephanie. You know, this is a big opportunity for us. We're so excited and we're so nervous. You know, we've made it this far. We've got two matches down and we got one more to go. Right, Bob?
That's right. You know, we're just like the San Diego Chargers.
That's right.
They're getting their chance at the Super Bowl, and now we're getting ours in just a few moments tonight.
You sure are, and I want to wish both of you the best of luck as you step into the ring. Let's go back to you,
thanks,
Vince.
Stephanie.
Todd is backstage with Pamela Anderson in her dressing room.
This is painful.
She's getting changed, and it's a bit like that scene in American Pie with Nadia. I expect Todd Pettengill to ejaculate into his pants twice, and it's being broadcast on pay-per-view.
I mean, she was behind a screen, and he was handing her some clothing.
And trying to peek through the gaps in the screen as well.
He's just very
insufferable.
He's just a very awkward man. He's uncomfortable to watch, you know, and that's not
a good thing.
Only if it's really intentional, you know, when you get things like Brass Eye that are uncomfortable to watch, or something like Summer High Type, where the stuff that is uncomfortable to watch and it is awkward, but it's awkward and funny. Whereas this is not supposed to be.
Todd Pettengill is a bit Mr. G.
He is a bit Mr. G.
Stephanie Wyand is backstage with the 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly. They are underdogs in the tournament. This was not a legendary promo.
No.
Hearing Bob Holly talk, what did you think?
Bob Holly can talk.
I think he just sticks to racing cars. No. I think it's interesting that he's genuinely doing lots of car racing at this point and has got quite a busy schedule.
You realise he's not an actual car racer, right?
He does do some car racing, though.
I think he did a tiny bit, but like it's not like they're making out.
Oh, no, it's not like they're making out, but he was going around, he was racing cars.
In the days of hardcore Holly, I don't recall him cutting promos. Does he do them, or are they so
I recall him slapping Crash around the head quite a lot, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fair
and
enough.
That time he called Michael Cole a piece of shit on WrestleMania.
What? When was that?
That's WrestleMania 16 after he wins the Hardcore Battle Royal. Calls Michael Cole a piece of shit.
Good on him.
Yeah. Lawler, in a little skit, draws himself kissing Pamela Anderson with the Magistrator as the crowd chants Burger King.
That was awful. He can't draw.
Lawler claims he has a date with her after
Jerry
the
Lawler
event.
Can draw.
Can he?
Oh, yeah, he's a very good artist.
He's a good artist.
Well, that wasn't a good drawing. How do you know he's a good artist? Does he do lots?
Yeah, he's done loads of cartoons and stuff, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes. Is this some kind of conspiracy to stitch me up?
No, legitimately.
Just check it out. He's a pretty talented artist.
Bret Hart as well. If you look on the inside cover of Bret's book, he does a load of art as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it back. I didn't think his picture of himself kissing Pamela Anderson's very good, though.
He is working on
some sort of 1995 graphics tablet.
Yeah, an incredibly primitive graphics tablet.
Okay.
Our next match is the finals of the WWF Tag Team Title Tournament. It's Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid against Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka.
Now, this confused me. Why wasn't the championship match in this slot? How come this gets precedence over...
Well,
this is somewhat of a come-down match before the Royal Rumble.
It's the Divas match, isn't it?
Oh, effectively. Okay. That makes more sense now.
I dare you to tell Bob Holly to his face he was in a Divas match.
Not in the actual, but it's in like the Divas spot, isn't it? It is the go to the toilet and grab a drink
match. Yeah. Out comes the million-dollar team of Bam Bam and Tatanka, followed by the Kid and Bob, to Bob Holly's music.
I thought it was all right, that music.
I wasn't a big fan.
No.
I preferred his Attitude Era music.
How do you feel about his hair?
Interesting. I can't get used to him having hair.
Yeah.
It seems wrong. It's kind of like a mullet, but he's got a big piebald spot on it. You can see why why he shaves his
head.
Because he's a bit of male pattern baldness.
Unfortunately, he doesn't shave his head for like another 3-4 years.
Really?
But is this not the first match we've seen since the last Royal Rumble with Bob in?
It is, yes.
Good.
So is he finally getting pushed up the rankings then?
To be fair.
Is he going to ascend to main event status?
Like Marty Jannetty?
Yes, at Royal Rumble 2004. He will quickly be descended back down. After that.
He had a decent run in last year's Rumble.
Yeah.
He was in for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. Vince tells us that tomorrow the Smoking Guns get a shot at the winners of this tournament, which makes it kind of pointless that they weren't in it. Yeah. But there you go. Holly and Tatanka start, and there is nothing too exciting here as Tatanka, as a heel, is really, really boring.
Yes, he is.
Holly gets a head scissors to take over and hits a sweet drop kick.
I thought that those head scissors were excellent.
Yeah.
And his drop kicks as well. I'm starting to think, actually, that Bob Holly might have my favourite drop kicks.
Well, this was my question here, based on the two we've seen. Holly or Jeff Jarrett? Because Jeff Jarrett's is sweet.
Jeff Jarrett's was really good, but I think Holly's is better.
Okay.
Both good.
A tag to Bam Bam, who charges Holly, but Holly gets a forceful drop toe hold. Looked good.
And that was really good, yeah.
The underdog team attempt a double team, but Bam Bam clotheslines them both down. A big bill on the kid by Bam Bam. Bam Bam whips Kid to the ropes and attempts to toss him into the air, but Kid counters with a big Hurricane Rana.
That was amazing. The kind of the vertical height that the kid gets from Bam Bam, I guess, it was really good.
I think that was one of the biggest spots we've seen on the show so far.
Oh, right up there, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Very crazy. I did actually kind of, you know, pause and reverse that and watch it again.
Kid goes for a kick, but Bam Bam counters with a kick of his own. A tag to Tatanka to calm the excitement down, as we need a bit of a rest.
This match is getting too good. Quick, yep. Get him in there.
Chops in the corner, and Kid takes a hard bump into the opposite corner and the original corner, and Bam Bam's back in. He hits a nice suplex and a big shoulder block. Bam Bam charges the Kid, but Kid backdrops him to the outside. Backdrops him / sort of ducks down so he falls over the ropes, but it looked good.
Yeah.
Kid kicks Tatanka into Bam Bam, and both Holly and the Kid come off the top rope at their opponents. However, Bam Bam and Tatanka catch them, but again a reversal, and Tatanka and Bam Bam go into one another.
That was something that I liked. Again, the unison with which they did that move, the catch, they both jumped, they both were caught at the same time. The kind of the lining up of the kind of intended bash of heads was good.
I thought one of the things that played into this match was that both of them are not regular tag teams.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of miscommunication on both parts, whereas you wouldn't see that from, say, the Heavenly Bodies or the Smoking Guns, because they're regular units, you know. Another nice Bob Holly dropkick for a two. Holly comes off the ropes, but Bam Bam holds the rope down and he tumbles to the outside.
And that looked like quite a nasty bump, actually.
That was quite good. It went with quite a decent
force.
Yeah, force. Yeah.
Bam Bam works over Spark Plug on the outside as the ref holds the Kid back. Tatanka and Holly again. Again, not particularly interesting stuff from Tatanka. Kid goes to break up a pin, but Tatanka rolls out of the way and he hits Holly. The Million Dollar Team then have some miscommunication too, as Tatanka comes off the top rope and hits Bam Bam after Holly moves out of the way. Bam Bam hits a big splash on Holly in the corner before tossing him to the outside. And Vince tells us the story about the Guns having a rodeo accident.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Holly gets a sunset flip attempt over the top rope on his way back in, but Bam Bam sits on him. Safely, mind, not in a Mabel way.
Yeah, it was slightly back. He wasn't sitting on his face and he wasn't jumping and sitting.
Yeah.
It was controlled to the sternum.
But it looked good because it still looked like it would hurt, but you could tell it was safe.
It would still hurt.
Honestly hope Mabel's watching it backstage, but I fear he isn't. Holly tries to tag Tatanka for some reason. This beatdown's going on a bit too long. He's gone a bit doolally.
I'd guess he's got a bit disorientated.
Yeah. Tatanka and Holly do the double cross body spot that Bam Bam and Tatanka did at the Rumble last year.
Not quite as well.
Both get tags, and Kid and Bam Bam are in. A top rope dropkick from the Kid. He dropkicks Tatanka off the apron and hits a cannonball to the outside.
All of that happens within about 12 seconds. He is literally sprinting between the spots.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
He hits a top rope crossbody, and then we get a dropkick to Tatanka by Holly. DiBiase is up on the apron, and Bam Bam presses Kid over the top rope, and Tatanka gives him a kicking on the outside. Somewhere, Spike Dudley is sat making notes thinking, I can do that. Bam Bam goes to the top rope, and as Bam Bam goes for a moonsault, Tatanka bounces off the ropes, knocking Bam Bam off. Comedy.
Yeah.
Clumsy.
Well, they're not regular tag teams, are they?
They're not on the same page. I'm not even sure they're reading the same book.
Bam Bam and the Kid are both down, and Kid crawls for the cover and gets the three and new tag champions. Bob, Butt Plug Holly, and the 1-2-3 Kid. After the match comes the real story, though. In the ring, Bam Bam gets up, for some reason with a bloody mouth, and he wanders around the outside to some fans who are mocking him. He stops at Lawrence Taylor, who is laughing at him. LT tries to shake Bam Bam's hand, but Bam Bam shoves him fully over, quite forcefully.
Yeah.
LT gets back up and mulleted guy holds him back, and we get big LT chants from the crowd.
He really does push him hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a little bit of a gentle shove. It is, he pushes him flying.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Taylor's a big guy, but he's quite worried about his glasses when he gets up as well.
Rightly so.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty snazzy glasses.
Three.
Yeah, they're pretty snazzy glasses, and he's checking them out after.
Well, he's been shoved, and you think the camera's on him. He's supposed to be selling, I don't know, anger or something, but he just spends most of his camera time trying to straighten out his glasses frames.
To be fair, he does look pretty cool.
He does look very cool, yeah.
What did you think to the match?
I quite liked it. I thought the kid was pretty good, although he wasn't in it an awful lot.
No.
I thought Bob Holly did very respectably, considering this is the second time we've seen him on pay-per-view. I'm always a fan of Bam Bam. It's only Tatanka wasn't great in this match. He was kind of the one leak wink, but I liked it overall. I thought it was decent.
Did you just say leak wink?
I believe you did.
It's one of those spoonerisms, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I said it.
Adam?
Yeah, I quite liked it. Is this the reason why Tatanka's heel turn is remembered with, you know, so negatively? Is the fact that it just doesn't work? Does he ever manage to get it up and running, as it were?
No.
Is it just it's flat, isn't it? He doesn't do anything
interesting.
Yeah, at all.
I will say, before this year is out, we will see Tatanka in a pay-per-view main event.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
There's that.
But I'd watch Bam Bam Bigelow versus the 1-2-3 kid all day. That was really good. And like Paul said, Bob Holly, fair enough. Very, very nice.
I do think that Bam Bam is a bit underused. I mean, we saw him in the final of King of the Ring in 93.
Mm.
But he could be working at a higher level.
He's definitely a special talent. He's
probably
the most agile guy of his size, with the exception of Vader.
I
like this match. I thought the kid and Holly were excellent. They had a good underdog story going into it. I like the fact that there was a bit of miscommunication between two teams who aren't regular teams.
What is the story behind Holly and the kid teaming up?
They're just there for the tournament,
so there's nothing that connects them particularly.
No, they're just underdog baby faces. Oh, okay. On the lower card, Bob Holly is kind of a bit of a Marty Jannetty substitute, as I'm sure if Marty Jannetty was there, he'd have been the kid's partner, as they were tag partners before.
Where is Jannetty at this point?
Still in that scene. Healing, I think. or lost in Europe. We see highlights of last year's Rumble. It shows us Diesel cleaning house until a bunch of people and Shawn Michaels' foot helps him get eliminated. Mm. Shawn cuts a promo about the Rumble. Lex and Brett co-win. We see that little clip. And then Lex cuts a promo upset about 1994. Nothing specific, just in general. He says 1995 is going to be a lot better.
Did he say 1994 is going to be an annus horribilis?
Probably. As for his 1995, I'm going to overuse this. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Cutting back to the arena, Vince very sincerely apologises for Bam Bam. And that brings us up to the Royal Rumble. So we'll leave you with a little bit of an intermission now. We're going to have a bit of a switch around, and we're going to watch the Royal Rumble live.
Let's get ready to rumble. Watch us wreck the mic. Psych.
Bravo. Hello, folks. We're back live and about to watch the 1995 Royal Rumble. So if you've got the Silver Vision Tag Classics version, and if you press play, basically when I started talking again, you'll get to where we are on the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, I think the Fink's just done his intro, hasn't he? And out comes
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Vince bets that Shawn Michaels won't be going to WrestleMania as the number one contender. He's very unlucky. Lawler again on commentary claims he's going out with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, well,
I find it highly unlikely.
Mm. Recently, I actually came out that Pamela Anderson suggested.
You've got to stop saying these bad things. Can we go back and start it again and not let Adam say these bad things?
I like the idea of giving Adam a live mic. It's a bit like his very own personal pipe bomb.
It's a bit like Russian roulette.
Well, we should be commenting on what's happening on.
Well,
on
Shawn Michaels is dancing like a twat in the ring.
Doing
a strip tease.
Basically.
Pamela Anderson looks very happy.
She's grinning away.
Talk to us about Pamela Anderson, Adam.
I do love 1995 Pamela Anderson. It was about this sort of time that I was.
God! I didn't want to know that.
Obviously not while watching the 1995 Royal Rumble. probably more Baywatch.
Are you sure it wasn't Shawn Michaels that made you discover?
Why, well, yeah, it's the British Bulldog.
Once again, looking massively top-heavy. Look at the beef eaters and the drummers in his entrance video. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very snazzy jacket. Oh, he's got some pyro.
He's got pyro, yeah.
Snazzy was number four there, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to see how many times I can get it in.
Well, these are two pretty big stars to be opening with.
Oh, God, yeah.
So if you're saying it's like, you know, lack of star power coming into it, these are two big ones to start with.
Shawn attacks the Bulldog to open.
Yeah, well, he's going at it with his left and his right hand.
So I'm expecting this to be just very, very quick-paced all round, and it's looking pretty quick-paced at the minute because we've got someone every minute, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a big back body drop.
Oh, military press.
He nearly dropped him, though, on the way up, but he controlled it well. That's a decent slam. Ooh.
Oh, he didn't really connect with the clothesline there. Shawn just took the Rikishi bump for no reason.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. It looked good, though.
It did take it well. And it's not over the top at all in the selling already.
He's doing the flare bump in the corner.
I think his hair's regaining some of its former glory.
Yeah, now he's gone into the Andre spot in the ropes.
It's changed again.
It's a good spot to go into in the Rumble, isn't it? It ensures that you're not going over the top rope.
I guess so. But someone could just tip you over.
That's what I do. And we've got the Casio clocks back for its appearance, second year running. And we're down to 3, 2, 1. Who's it going to be? We're looking for the entrance.
Everyone's looking.
Oh, it's...
Who the fuck's that?
Yeah, who is it?
Is that the Berserker?
No, it is not the Berserker, sadly. It's Eli Blue.
Eli Blue? Who the hell's that?
Eli and Jacob Blue are brothers Ron and Don Harris, who have had a variety of gimmicks throughout their career.
Oh.
You'll most likely know them as the DOA from the Attitude Era.
They
came to the WWF via both Smoky Mountain Wrestling and ECW as the Bruise Brothers. And they would later have runs in both WCW and TNA.
Ah,
wow.
We'll see them again in the next episode, where you may recognise their manager. Their gimmick here is pretty much that they are mountain men.
Okay.
Mountain men?
Yep.
Fair enough.
Men from the mountain.
Vince explains to us on commentary that the object is to stay in the ring at all costs. Bravo.
Cheers for that, Vince. Yeah.
He's certainly a big dude.
Yeah, he is big. His hair's massive and all, isn't it?
And already, this is very quick already, he seems like he's only just got into the ring. And we're already down to our next entrance.
Who's this guy?
The sanitary bin collection man, Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Okay.
He gets booed. Presumably he was missing his route or something. Their bins didn't get emptied.
He just caught a massive boot to the face by that mountain man. Yeah.
Believe it or not, his gimmick before he made it to the WWF was...
The Bin Man?
Bin Man.
Really?
He debuted in the WWF in April 1994 and had a feud with Jerry Lawler. You may have spotted him in the video for that Doink Lawler feud at Survivor Series. And he was also part of the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17.
Is he around for long?
About a year and a half or so, 2 years. He went on to be a special education teacher and was busted for selling drugs to an undercover police informant in July 2013.
Bravo.
Yeah. That's wrestling bin man, though, really.
It's an unusual one. But wrestling mountain man, is that?
That's at least a little bit.
More credible than Bin Man,
is it?
All right.
And we're down to our next then.
Yeah, the thick and fast.
Hey, it's my favourite.
Lawler's commentary trait during the first half of this Royal Rumble is whenever a heel comes out, he just goes, I like this guy.
So it's Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey in the ring.
Pleased to see him, Paul.
Delighted to see him.
What's the Bulldog and Michaels doing on the far side of the ring? Just having a bit of a hug.
The camera work isn't as slick as it is these days, is it?
No.
It's not as easy to tell what's going on.
So is the big crowd reactions happening at any of this point? Because they look quite...
Shawn and Bulldog have got decent pops, but yeah. You'll see as we go on, this isn't exactly a Royal Rumble loaded with star power.
Well, have they basically blown their load in the first two people?
It's deliberate booking, which we'll discuss later.
Oh, okay.
Well, it looks like Sean is on the ropes.
Jimmy Del Rey's kind of got Daniel Bryan's pants.
Do you know what I really want to see is a Jimmy Del Rey versus Shawn Michaels or Jimmy Del Rey versus Bret Hart match.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be really good.
They definitely exist, so we'll have to find them.
Hmm. One of the things that I noticed earlier on one of the views...
It's the Barbarian.
It is a Barbarian, or Simone?
Sione.
Sione. There's a couple of views where it looks like there's patches of the crowd where there's empty seats.
Yeah.
I noticed in one of the early...
I can't find any reference to this show being a sellout, so yeah, that's a distinct possibility.
They haven't mentioned it on commentary, have they, being sold out?
No.
Which they, if it is sold out, they always bang
on. No!
In case you didn't guess from that reaction, Jimmy Del Rey is gone.
Why would you have Jimmy Del Rey be eliminated so soon?
When there's a bin man in there.
Who chucked him out?
Bulldog. It was Bulldog, And now the bin man's going after Bulldog.
Presumably he chased after him on his route.
Yeah.
Has the Barbarian sort of slimmed his muscle mass down quite a bit since he was around in the 80s?
I love the way you say 80s.
Yeah, it's just from that Alan Partridge thing.
The 80s.
Yeah. Into 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the bit where he's pretending to meet Bono?
Yeah. It's Marty Jannetty. No, it's Tom Pritchard.
The Doctor of Desire.
Just so you know, the Heavenly Bodies were substitutes for the 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly appearing in the tag title match. So.
Next to that mountain man, he looks tiny.
He does. But that looked like Simone was going to get
him. Sione.
I'm kind of keep calling him...
We're going to add this to your list of Yokozuna and the IRS.
The IRS.
Isn't Simone like a girl's name or something?
Wasn't that Argentinian footballer who overreacted to Beckham's kick? Was that Simone?
Yeah. Oh, it might have been. Was that 98? 98, yeah.
Back when everybody hated Beckham.
People burning effigies of him.
I know, look at him today.
He's done all right.
He's done okay. It came back well, to be fair to the boy.
Anyway.
Ascended to main event status.
He definitely ascended.
Back to the ring, there's someone else about to come in.
If anything, it's Hall of Fame.
Oh, shit, it's Dink.
I think it's Doink, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
But what I will say is that's the biggest pop of the Rumble so far.
Really?
When he comes out. There's some booze mixed in there, but yeah.
People are a big fan of Doink, aren't they? Or is it Dink? It's the bigger pull.
He's the smaller Paul.
The ring's filling up a bit here now.
Yeah. You should be glad you can't hear Vince's commentary, I'll say, because he can't commentate on Rumble matches. He just doesn't know what to focus on or talk about. There's a bit in the commentary where he's like, and then this and this and that. He hasn't got a clue what to focus on.
To be fair to him, I do find there's aspects of the Rumble that are hard to watch. I think, as I mentioned last year, I'm not a big fan of the... will spend 2 minutes just trying to get you over the ropes, but nothing's really going to happen. I'm not a fan of that.
Well, in this instance, they'll spend a minute.
Yeah. Well, the clock's down again, so we'll see who's in next. Here we go.
Yeah, I can't help but feel that there's... it's Quang. Excellent.
Quang, yes. And this is the first time we've seen him since last year, isn't it?
He's been on loads of dark matches.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's going to missed someone.
Who was it last? Was it Rick Steiner last year?
Yes, it was.
That he missed it.
In the last appearance of the Steiner brothers.
So that's Savio Vega, isn't it, we decided last year?
Who will... I think the next time we see Quang, he'll be Savio Vega.
Okay. All right. Was Quang not an overly popular gimmick thing?
He's got an odd kind of shape, almost. He's quite short and stocky,
I think that's...
He doesn't look fat, he just looks really wide.
That's how I was kind of able to identify him. He's got a very unique body shape.
You two are always going about unique body shapes. Him and Jim the Anvil Neinhardt.
Jimmy Del Rey's got a unique body shape.
Well, it's not really unique. Probably unique in wrestling.
Yeah.
If you get the drift, yeah.
He's short and fat.
Yeah. I can think of others like him. And somebody else.
Is that Rick the Model Martel?
Rick the Model Martel is a substitute for Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who has left the company.
What?
Because of his unique body shape.
Silence for his entrance, and again, Lawler says, I like this guy. It's a brief return for the model who last appeared in July 94.
How do you feel about that, Paul?
Well, he's got different pants on. I mean,
they're not baby blue anymore.
They're not baby blue, but I'm not a fan of them.
At this point, he holds the record for Royal Rumble appearances, having appeared in every pay-per-view edition of the match ever held.
Wow.
He didn't, however, compete in the 1988 television edition, but all the pay-per-view ones he's been in.
Yeah.
This will be the end of his streak, so to speak.
Mm. Who currently has been in the most Royal Rumble matches?
I think it's Fatu or Kane. Okay. Right, yeah. I think Kane may have just overtaken him. Obviously, Fatu appeared in as a bunch of different gimmicks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, counting down on the game. We're down to 3, 2, 1, 0. Owen, yes.
Hey.
We needed this.
Yeah, there's a bit more of a...
I'd say that
star power coming down.
It's been a bit lacklustre so far. There's not a lot happened.
Oh no! Brett!
He's been assaulted by Brett.
Well, you can understand why he's pissed off with him.
I can understand
well,
it, but...
yeah.
Brett, I didn't expect that of you.
Well, he's fucking pissed off. He cost him his world title match.
Well, he is. He is.
Pat Patterson's there.
Pat Patterson is there now.
Okay. Wait, has he got trainers on? I can't see. Feet are moving quite fast and it's a bit pinky in the light.
Owen gets big boos and the attack gets big cheers.
Yeah. And in the meantime, we don't know what the fuck's happening in the ring.
Nothing important, really.
Oh, no. Who is that guy, the Wurzel Gummidge guy?
Rene Goulet.
Okay.
There's one of those wrestlers about 8 years old. That one then. That helped you, didn't it?
Go away, Brett. Go away.
Yeah.
So they're going to cross. This is a bit awkward again when you get people crossing the entrance way. So who's coming out?
I don't know, because is Owen just incapacitated on the floor?
Excuse me. Okay, it's... Who's that?
Who is 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 that? Stop looking at your phone. Who is that?
Timothy Well.
Who's Timothy Well? What? I guess that's not his real name.
Well and Stephen Dunn.
Oh, this is Well Done.
Can you guess?
Oh, I think Duke the Dumpster Bellend's out.
Oh, he took a big bump from the Bulldog.
Well done.
Well done.
They were a mid-90s, absolutely bottom of the
And he's
run.
Gone he's already.
Gone, he's gone already.
Oh, God.
Their gimmick
And who
is,
else has got... Oh, Rick Waddle's gone.
Their gimmick is upset. That they wear thongs and bow ties.
Oh, dear, the Doctor of Desire's gone.
There's been a very, very short clearing here, hasn't there?
It's not quite explosive, though, is it?
Doink's
and
gone.
Doink's going.
No, Doink's still there.
That wasn't smooth, though. I can see a reversal
coming
up. He's
going to do something hilarious.
To Simeone. I'm going to... Stay with that. Oh, Quang!
Nice kick, Quang.
Super kick. He was
sorted
super.
Him right out.
Bushwhacker, which bushwhacker?
Shit, it's a bushwhacker.
It doesn't matter which bushwhacker, let's be honest.
Oh, and who's gone? Two of them gone there. The Doctor of Desire and...
He's already gone. That was Mountain Man.
That was Mountain Man, okay.
And the only Barbarian.
Only caught the hair. Okay, the bushwhacker's going to town.
So now it's Bulldog, Michaels and a bushwhacker.
And the bushwhacker's
sorry,
gone.
No, it's Bulldog and Michaels.
Well, that didn't last long. The bushwhacker's upset. He's going to go and lick some faces.
Yeah, he probably will,
probably
actually.
Pamela Anderson's.
Friend. Yeah.
I'd lick her face.
Yeah.
Probably not other parts of her for risk of infection.
So, yeah, no open wounds.
Whose open wounds would you lick?
I'm not going to go into that. So now we're right back where we started. All those other people were just incidental.
Yeah.
They may as well not have bothered.
Yeah. And at this stage, I'd like to dissociate myself from the views of my compatriots here.
Your co-stars in the Paul Scrivens
my
show.
My co-stars, yeah.
Mountain Man number 2 is coming down. He looks remarkably similar to the last
I reckon
one.
It's the
it
same
could
one.
Be the same bloke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, good clothesline.
It's a Bruce Hart-style clothesline on Shawn Michaels there.
Vince has, on commentary, style. Worked out who the second blue is. By virtue of the process of elimination. He didn't know who the first one is, but once he worked that out, he now knows who the second one is.
And he's
gone.
And he's gone.
I thought he was going to skin that
and
cat.
And it's gone.
Is
Bulldog Vince, with the right hand?
Is Vince's commentary better at this point, not when he's only got two people? Can he focus on it a bit more?
Well, yeah.
And the more people get to... Is there some sort of graph that we could draw?
The sort of... Axis of more people, how confused Vince gets.
Yes. Yeah,
we could probably do that. That sounds like a WrestleMass thing.
Yeah, we can see if there's a correlation. That clock just started on 11. Did you notice that?
No.
We can't reverse it. But he did. It started on 11. Keep
everyone
your eye
watching
it,
would have to rewind it the exact amount.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's King Kong Bundy with his fat neck.
It's a giant potato man.
It's
watching
weird.
Down the aisle.
I'll be fair. I was mocking you for it earlier, but he has got a unique body shape. Yeah.
He gets decent boos on his way out.
Yeah, well, I suppose he's been around for a while, hasn't he, in people's memories.
He's got a good look for a heel.
Here's something that we completely missed. It's Owen's elimination. He does actually make it to the ring.
Why didn't we see it?
And the Bulldog, whoa! Oh, you beauty!
Hell of a bump on his way out.
That's amazing! Why didn't we see that? That is surely camera work.
Sean's just blundering around.
Sean looks like he's had a few pints.
So hang on, why didn't we see...
Because we were busy focusing on something else. I think it was Brett being escorted away.
Oh, right, okay.
I was busy looking at Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
So is King Kong Bundy taking the traditional fat person spot, or is Mabel in this as well?
Well, you'll just have to wait, won't you?
Well, I'm very excited.
I'm not.
You like fat men, don't you, Adam?
Only if their necks are like that.
This is being a bit underwhelming so far. That's a man on a mission, isn't it?
That is a man on a mission. It's Mo.
Would you like to know what his mission is?
To get eliminated really fast.
Yes, King Kong Bundy, well done.
I'll be fair, that was all right, though. I don't mind stuff like that, because get in and get out. Don't faff around on the top rope for ages.
You are useless. Go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is... That was nice, the little double team.
Yeah, I think...
On Bundy.
Bundy can't even run, really, can he?
Bulldog's going to try and pick him up.
Oh, you beauty.
No, he can't quite manage it. How much does King Kong Bundy weigh?
Allegedly well over 400 pounds.
Allegedly? Has he got Crash Holly scales?
Yes.
They're just set to well over 400 pounds.
The next classic superstar I'm going to buy is going to be King Kong Bundy, I think.
Fair enough. I have a collection of classic superstars. Every birthday or Christmas, you may have noticed, Adam buys me a classic superstar.
Yeah. Got your Bastion Booger last time.
I was more impressed with Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, he was clearly the better one.
Here's another man on a mission.
Mabel.
He gets a pretty big pop, so I just hope the crowd realise that Mabel's push is all their fault.
Yeah, really. If they'd have been quiet.
Also, I didn't mention that Lawler found Mo getting eliminated absolutely hilarious.
Good, so did I.
He's a big guy. Now, this is a big...
Well, we saw this last pay-per-view, though, didn't we?
This is dream match, mate.
Yeah. Bundy versus Mabel.
Two.
The nightmare continues. I think I did that.
Did you do that joke last time?
You know what I've noticed? There's no signs in the crowd whatsoever.
There is a sign. Oh, yeah. There's a sign for Razor.
Is there?
But a rubbish one I saw earlier. Yeah.
No casket matches, mate. No artistic. No.
Yeah. The artist must have stayed at home. He only comes out for casket matches.
That clock started on 10, Paul.
It did. 11. No. The one before it started on 11. I didn't dream it. I mean, I often do dream about numbers.
Yeah. Well, Mabel's eliminating King Kong Bundy. Oh, no, he's not.
No.
It's a bushwhacker.
It's another bushwhacker. It is the other one.
The other one.
Well, is it Bulldog and Michaels just having a rest?
Well, Michaels is. He's just standing there, look.
Have you noticed something about the star quality in this Royal Rumble so far?
Top notch.
It's basically a Hall of Fame roster.
Yeah. Oh, Bundy's gone. Well, that was a hell of a bump.
In the loosest elimination ever.
Yes, that wasn't spectacular, was it?
Rake that bushwhacker's face.
Shawn Michaels just no-selling that bushwhacker and throwing him out.
To be fair, the Bulldog's just standing there just adjusting his wristbands.
Yeah.
You'd take a rest if you could. They've been here since the start. It's been a whole, like, four minutes or something. And they're on number 28.
We've got Lex Luger to come out, haven't we?
Yes, we have, yeah.
It's really the story of this room. Will those two stay in? And are they going to be the last two?
Don't spoil it for yourself, Adam.
Well, I'm just guessing, because that seems to be the path that it's going. And the next person is out, and it is...
Lex Luger.
It's that guy.
I am starting to wonder at this point if it's the audio on this DVD, but it's starting to sound like everyone who comes out gets boos.
Yeah.
Luger gets boos, which turn into cheers when he's kind of a bit further down the aisle. I'm wondering if the crowd are just booing everybody who comes out.
To be fair, he's just eliminated Mabel, and he's running wild. He's got Shawn Michaels.
He's got more energy than we've ever seen.
Now, his forearm, correct me if I'm wrong, is a finisher.
Yep.
And he's just done two, and... kind of half slams Michaels, but not well.
He's out of breath now. Look, did you notice that?
He's amazing. Lex Luger's the best wrestler ever.
And I did notice on the way down to the ring, he did manage to resist adjusting his pants. He was about to, but then he stopped himself.
I don't hate this in Rumbles. I'm going to try really lacklusterly to throw someone over.
Yeah. It does spoil it for me.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Is it going to be someone amazing?
Yep.
Who is it? I can't say. Is it Vader? No, probably Vader.
It's...
Who is that?
Who the hell is that? Is that Mantar?
That's Mantar.
Oh, why isn't he wearing his bull's head?
Mantar debuted on the January the 7th episode of Superstars in a squash match and would soon pick up, of all people, Jim Cornette as his manager.
Makes sense.
Lucky for Jim Cornette.
Cornette thought it was a joke when he was told he would be managing him. This is his only in-ring WWF pay-per-view appearance, though we will see him again, and you'll get bonus points if you spot the other two pay-per-views he appears on.
Okay. As different characters, I've taken it.
Jim Ross, in a futile attempt to make some sense of this rubbish, would on an episode of Action Zone refer to Mantar by his real name of Mike Halleck and claim that he was a great amateur wrestler, but he had always been a bully, and that's why he changed his name to Mantar, to intimidate people, I guess, bully.
Yeah.
I quite like, to be honest, it's going to make a much sense of that gimmick than anything. Okay, who's this? This is, I've seen this picture you've put up on Facebook, but I haven't got a clue who it is.
Do you know who's underneath the mask?
I know who it is, because the face is quite obvious.
Who is it?
I wouldn't be able to tell just from this, actually. I'd have no idea with the picture that was up on Facebook.
Well, the name of the character is Aldo Montoya, the Portuguese man of war.
I can't think of any Portuguese wrestlers.
You don't have to. It's not Portuguese.
Okay. But he's got like a Portuguese flag.
Imagine him
flag
with a shaved head.
A shaved head?
Yes.
And a little bit of a goatee beard.
I'm trying to. No, it's
okay. WWF jobber, PJ Walker, Peter Polarco.
Not a clue.
Just incredible.
That's just incredible?
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember his match with Matt Murphy from Heat that I can't find any record of anywhere.
Which I claim
is the worst match that I've ever seen. With the finisher was a bottom rope powerbomb.
Do you know what the Portuguese man of war is, though?
A jellyfish.
His gimmick is that he's a jellyfish.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It's a very dangerous jellyfish, though.
And here's another two-job superstar.
Henry O. Godwin.
Henry O. Godwin. Hog.
Hog, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. He comes to the ring with a bucket of slop, usually.
So is this...
Slop? What is slop?
It's the shit pigs eat.
Okay.
Pig slop. Pig squill. Whatever you want to call
it.
Yeah.
Pig squill. Rubbish food.
That always used to come up in the B&O, didn't it? Pig squill, I think.
Yeah. Also, Rasher was always eating
Rasher, of course, yeah.
About Mantar, after he had this WWF run, he went to ECW under his original ring name of Bruiser Mastino, where quite obviously the ECW crowd just chanted Mantar at him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Is that like face paint, or is that like a strip of hair he's got?
It's face paint, isn't it?
Pamela looks kind of
slightly less interested than Chuck Norris.
She looks a bit concerned. Look at that. It's
She's like, I don't want to have to go to the ring with Mantar.
What's going on? There's a big jellyfish in the ring and a pig farmer.
Is this the first appearance of a Godwin then?
Yeah.
And they are around for years, aren't they?
Yeah, it goes 3-4 years. Adam's favourite wrestler.
Is it Billy Gunn?
Oh, no.
Look at that slide into the ring. No one quite slides into the ring.
He nearly
like Billy
slides
Gunn.
Out. He goes a good 80% of the way across the ring.
He gets
fifths.
A good girly scream pop on his way out.
Girly scream pop?
Yeah.
Obviously, that sort of like slimy sex pest look must go over in Florida.
A classic line from Lawler on commentary here. He says that Lex Luger's dad was very smart and very strong from raising dumbbells like him.
Oh, very jealous.
Yeah.
And with that stalling point now, we've got like about three pairs of people trying very badly to throw each other over.
We've just seen a nice thumb to the eye by Shawn Michaels on the jellyfish.
At this point, they did believe that Aldo Montoya might be kind of their next 1-2-3 kid.
Really? Was he actually a decent performer in the ring?
He was serviceable later on, but he's also on the periphery of the clique as well, so he's not a fully fledged member. But...
Oh, right. I never knew that he'd been actually around for this amount of time.
His run in the WWF as Aldo Montoya is longer than his run in the WWF was just incredible.
Wow.
Bart Gunzi gets battered by Manta.
Good stuff.
We've built our entire show around this one appearance of Manta.
And he didn't even come out with his fucking bull's head on.
I know.
That really upsets me.
Look at Lex Luger. Lex Luger has gone to the other side of the ring to take a break.
Yeah, he's actually bent over, wheezing away.
He looks like an old man.
They could use Lex Luger in Kit Kat adverts.
Take a break.
Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. Adjust your pants.
Very good, very good.
Or the magazine Take a Break.
Yeah? Is that by The Undertaker?
Take a Break. It's like The Undertaker's holiday magazine.
It's like that's
something you've got to Photoshop.
I'm just picturing him and like what's the one Partridge does where he's advertising the canal boat holidays.
Oh, Waterway to have a good time.
It's Mr. Bob Backlund
with Hamilton's water rates. Now
things are going to heat up.
Now, he gets big booze.
You know that I was talking about in the last episode about how I was a big fan of Bridging Out.
Yeah.
Well, somebody has been taking notice of that. My son, Baby Scrivens, because recently, just for added fun, when I've been trying to change a soiled nappy, he's been trying to bridge out of the change.
And Bret Hart's
making
back
things
again.
Very difficult.
Bret Hart's beating the shit out of Bob Backlund. Someone get rid of that guy.
It's fair enough.
He's just eliminated like two people,
two quite high rated stars.
Yeah.
And in this match, we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, because Mantar's in the ring.
And Aldo Montoya and Henry Godwin.
And the pig, you know, pig farm. Well, at least the bin man's gone. But the smoking guns are still in there. Are both of the smoking guns in there? Oh, yeah, one's getting beaten up.
Yeah, they're both in there. Okay. The other's having a rest.
Who's this?
That would be Stephen Dunn.
Oh, this is the other half of Well Done.
He gets literal silence.
I wonder if he'll be any more successful than his partner. I thought...
He is, however, the answer to the random wrestling trivia question. Who was in the ring when Scott Hall wandered out for the first time on WCW Nitro, kicking off the NWO angle? He was in the ring.
Really?
Against Blake Beverly.
I thought you were saying...
Lex Luger just eliminated Bob Backlund.
Yep, Backlund's gone.
But now Mantar's got him, so that's all right.
That's a WrestleMania match any day of the week, mate. Mantar versus Luger.
I'd watch that.
I'm not sure I would.
Bret Hart's still beating people up.
I love this, though.
It's like... It's
there's Fuck about, you, Bob Backlund.
There's about eight refs.
Do you see a snazzy tie on that ref there?
Snazzy isn't the word I'd use to describe it, but we've got that word in once more.
It's the word you've described to use to describe everything else.
Yeah. I quite like the set.
Is someone now going to say, Rob, Brett, you've got to go in this room. We're locking the door.
It gets a big pop there, little fight in the aisleway.
Yeah. Bigger than anything that's actually happening in the ring. Hey, new person.
Who is that?
Bob Backlund.
It was Bob Backlund again.
Who's this?
Dick Murdoch.
Who the fuck's Dick Murdoch?
He's a wrestling veteran who began competing in 1965.
Is that Trevor Murdoch's dad?
New generation.
He tagged with Dusty Rhodes as the Texas Outlaws in Florida Championship Wrestling in the NWA and the Junkyard Dog in Mid-South. He also held the WWF Tag Team title with Adrian Adonis in 1984. Yeah. He would die of a heart attack on June the 15th, 1996.
Shit.
So about a year after this.
Allegedly, he was a card-carrying member of the KKK.
Oh.
So do they have cards?
Well, presumably they have some sort of membership card, yeah.
Well, that changes my opinion of him. It's rapidly changed in the 45 seconds since I've known that he existed.
He left shortly before the whole sort of rock and wrestling Hogan thing took off.
Right.
Right.
I guess we'll... Now it's just a little bit of dead air, really, because, yeah, you know, that KKK thing's thrown me.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another person out.
It's Adam Bomb.
He actually gets a pretty decent pop.
I do like Adam Bomb.
Yeah, he's got a really good look.
Says our style correspondent, Adam.
Yeah, I've got no problems with his ring gear.
I like you rocking that yellow leotard.
Yeah, cheers.
Vince has noted on commentary that the two opening individuals are still in the match.
I noticed that.
I had. It's bloody obvious.
Your memory's terrible, Adam. You can't remember something that happened 21 minutes ago.
but my sarcasm's pretty good, so that's fine.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, at least Mantar's still there.
He's just doing a big splash on Lex Luger. Throw him out the ring!
He's doing all right, actually, isn't he, Mantar? He's been around for a bit.
See, now he's just holding him. He's not doing anything. And now he's just going to put Lex down again. Adam Bomb is going after Mantar. And who's this?
It's Fatu.
Oh, excellent. Uh-huh.
He's got his shoes on properly this time.
Good. He's learned.
It's taking him the rest of the pay-per-view to get him on. He can walk in them as well. That's amazing.
Some big fists with Billy Gunn there. Two Attitude Era staples going at it.
Yeah.
I thought he got him, but he hasn't.
It's looking quite busy now, the ring is, I think. There's a lot of people just hanging around.
I was going to say a lot of superstars, but there's a lot of people in the ring.
People is more appropriate than superstars.
Oh, no. Oh. Mantar's gone.
It's Leave the memories alone.
Eliminated by Lex Luger.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's,
that guy in the front row who's just sat down, he's got a snazzy waistcoat on as well.
Close-up of Shawn Michaels' gurning face in the corner there.
Adam Bomb just appears to be shouting at him.
I tell you what, Adam's Bomb's gear is good.
Yeah, we've already covered that.
I'm just saying, it just struck me again. Better than Lex Luger's.
Yeah. What number are we on?
30.
This is the last entrant?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's Crush. Excellent.
Vince thinks Crush will be going to WrestleMania, and can you imagine Diesel versus Crush as your WrestleMania main event?
Five stars.
Yeah.
Oh, he's eliminated both the smoking guns, though.
Yeah. Well, they're probably going to have another radio accident.
Do you want some good news?
They're going to pick up the tag belts.
This is the last time we'll see Crush for a very long time, as he's about to head directly to jail for purchasing steroids and possessing an illegal handgun.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah, wow. The customs mail branch at Honolulu Airport discovered a parcel from London containing 500 units of steroids. When Crush, real name Brian Adams...
Hang on a sec. It's just shown a close-up of Pamela Anderson's legs.
And very nice legs screen. They were as well.
And she just did a little pout at the camera, and she's pointing at the ring saying...
Get the camera off me.
Look at the ring. Look at the ring. What on earth is going on?
Pay attention to Radioactive Man and that pig farm.
So basically, he accepts the package. Officers search his house and find marijuana and unregistered semi-automatic handguns. He gets charged with 5 counts of promoting harmful drugs and 5 counts related to unlawful possessions of firearms, which gets jailed on the 13th of March 1995.
Until...
mid-96. Tastefully, when he returns, the WWF will rehire him and give him a jailbird gimmick. But you have classic. Got about 18 months Crush free.
Yeah.
Lawler also thinks that Pam is winking at him.
Yeah.
He also says done is done.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
I see they're playing on the different spellings of the word there.
Wrestle spelling.
Yeah.
Now this guy, the old guy, what's his name?
Dick Murdoch.
He's still there.
And he's just literally standing watching what's going on.
Yeah.
He's got an excuse for wanting a rest. He's super old and about to die of a heart attack.
But
well, yeah, fair enough.
It's also just watching Lex Luger thinking, what? you were in the main event.
Like that Godwin's still there as well. Has he gone over very well? Are people aware of Mr. Godwin?
They're aware of him.
But do they care?
Not really.
Yeah, that's
Would you care about a pig farmer?
No, I'd care about Radioactive Man.
Yeah, in terms of gimmicks, what are the kind of occupation based gimmicks would you like to see? That
sanitary towel bin emptying man.
Okay, I'd quite like to see a judge.
Really, and what would you call this judge?
Judgmental.
Okay,
he could have a gavel.
He'd have to steal Wade Barrett's.
He could.
It almost sounds like you've thought this over.
Yeah, nah,
it's almost like you've been pitching this for about a decade.
That's rubbish. About 8 years.
Paul Scribbins is judgment.
Yeah. Da, da, da. That'd be my entrance theme. And my finish is just going to be the guilty verdict. Go on then, what are your occupation-based wrestling characters?
I was going to say a quality of teacher, but they've done that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at his little junkyard dog headbutts on the floor.
That's quite good, but he's headbutting a Samoan again.
Yeah, yeah. Which obviously
is a stupid manoeuvre.
He's just realised that it's...
did you just spot Lex Luger just standing there scratching his face? Star power.
I love it.
Shawn Michaels is just falling over.
Staggering around like he's had another 3 pints since he's been in there. Maybe that's what happens. The longer you wrestle, the more drunk you get.
Adam Bomb's gone. Crush has eliminated him.
Yeah.
ICW did some sort of Scottish World of Sport rules match where between rounds you had to down light Jack Daniels and Coke.
What? Excellent.
Yeah, should look it up. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm sure that ended very nicely.
They're Scottish. It's fine. Oh, and Crush has not thrown Fatu out.
He thinks
but he's celebrating, though. That's a mistake. And Fatu's going after him.
I like Fatu.
I do as well, yeah. I think he's decent.
Is it just me, or is his backside getting a bit bigger?
Montoya's
gone.
The jellyfish.
Right, so Dick Murdoch's eliminating Shawn Michaels, and Lex Luger just stops him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawler rightly points out that Luger is an idiot to stop Michaels getting eliminated.
Luger's an idiot for several things.
One of the things... That's on Raw. Nice bump, Rikishi.
Yeah.
On TV at the minute, Shawn Michaels is doing colour commentary on Raw, and he endlessly rips Lex Luger for punching like a girl.
Good.
Is he good on commentary?
Good's not really the word.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
And like I say, he's pointing out that certain people say need carrying and that, yeah, Lex Luger punches like a girl.
Do you want an interesting anecdote about my former cricketing career?
Go on, then.
Well, I was once batting, and I was getting a bit frustrated. I just kind of knocked one into leg side, just kind of towards mid wicket boundary, and I was kind of shouting to my batting partner at the time, you know, we can take two. He throws like a girl, and then as tends to happen in these situations, I kind of got mercilessly bullied by the rest of the opposition for the rest of the innings. But it was quite amusing.
That old guy's been eliminated.
Dick Murdoch did an awesome airplane spin and eliminated himself, basically. You missed that during Scriven's little anecdote there.
Yeah.
But for a big guy, that Godwin held onto the top rope and managed to avoid elimination.
So we've got our final five. It's Babyface, Luger and Bulldog versus Heel, Crush, Godwin and Sean. On TV, Luger and Bulldog have just become a tag team, by the way.
Okay.
Really?
Well, that made sense that they were kind of standing next to each other.
They're called the Allied Powers.
Okay.
They're a bit like George Bush and Tony Blair.
Which we'll discuss, I believe, on the WrestleMania show. We need to bring that up.
Yeah, special relationship.
There's something for you to all look forward to.
Yeah.
The contents of our SmackDown.
At WrestlePolitics.
Here comes the pain memory card.
Yeah. Oh, we need to put some of that up on YouTube or something, yeah.
Yeah.
We did spend many hours creating
many
awesome
a hungover
characters.
Sunday spent yeah. playing Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah, scene did a great mum run.
Luger did his forearm on Godwin there.
Made no contact.
Yeah, I think
that I could discern.
He's gonna go now though. Oh no, he's pushed him over. Well, pushed him. have you seen that it's like a pilot. Oh, he's
Godwin's gone.
Have you seen the pilot for Partridge? For Knowing Me, Knowing You?
Probably.
When he's saying something about somebody's talking to him, well, obviously it's a talk show, but he's saying, oh, you'd hit a woman, push her firmly. Have you seen that?
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's on a DVD extra for something, and there's just an old woman there, and she's got a bag, I think, and she's emptying it out, and it kind of raises the classic line, oh my God, it's a dildo. Genius.
Thanks
well,
for that.
Yeah, that is
awesome. I can only see one winner of this now.
Really?
Crush.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Crush, look at his hair. That's all I'm saying.
Luger won it last year, mate.
Yeah, but it was the worst winning of it ever, wasn't it?
Well, he co-won.
Yeah, exactly.
And
co-won
and
then
lost
the popularity contest afterwards.
To Bret Hart, yeah. Rightly so.
Yeah, and then lost all of his matches.
In 1994.
We're missing some mercenaries. I'd like to see a couple of mercenaries.
Actually, yeah, he did. He lost to Yoko at Mania. He lost to Tatanka at SummerSlam. And he lost that Survivor Series match. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a terrible year, didn't he?
He's gone. Alexa's gone.
He's gone. It's definitely going to be crushed then.
I think every year they should have more people being eliminated last at the same time, if you know what I mean. So this year it should have been three people being eliminated simultaneously.
So you could have a fatal four-way or something.
Yeah.
I'm happy with how we ended up.
Okay.
So, well, Sean's trying to convince Crush to team up with him and eliminate the Bulldog.
And then he'll probably super kick him in the face.
Yeah, I spy a double
he's saying
turn.
Two on one, you and me. Big high 10.
Yeah.
That's another WrestleMass move.
He'll have to compile a comprehensive list for us.
Yeah. If you've got any WrestleMass related moves, get in touch with me at WrestleMaths. And I'm going to send more tweets, I've decided. I've not done that many yet.
You've been more active on the at Yes Paul Scrivens.
I have
account.
Been more active on the at Yes Paul Scrivens.
There's lots of celebrating going on between Crush and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Crush has turned.
Double cross.
Crush has turned.
Go on, throw him out. Go on. Don't just hold him up. Do something with him. You're just standing there in the middle of the ring. Oh, look, he's got your eye.
Oh,
and
Bulldog. Oh,
good spot.
Bulldog
lobbers
him out of the way,
leading us to our final two.
Who were the first two? Bulldog looks tired.
How fitting, yeah. Bulldog.
Fair play,
looks
though.
Knackered.
This is not Lex Luger 30 seconds tired.
Pamela Anderson actually looks happy now. Though most of the ridiculous gimmicks have gone.
She'd probably have sex with those two men, but probably not Manto or a Bushwhacker. rake to the face by Shawn Michaels. Whips the Bulldog to the ropes.
Oh,
big knee.
That was brilliant.
Shawn saves a lot of his big bumps for this part of the Royal Rumble, just so you know.
Okay, good. Okay, oh, he's going to get a big kick. Oh, I like that. It's
Bulldog
not
kicks Shawn on the top rope.
That's not dissimilar to the Hogan stuff.
No, it isn't.
What year was that?
2005. Now throw him over the
good
top.
Good year.
Nope, drop him ball first onto the ropes.
Yeah, and then bounce him on his balls.
Yeah. Even takes that bump well, doesn't he? Oh, he's going to go for a big clothesline. Oh, no.
He's very good at hanging on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels.
And making it look a real struggle.
Has Bulldog not seen?
No, now you're missing on the audio is that Bulldog's music is playing.
Oh,
he's
really?
Won the Royal Rumble.
Bulldog's won the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Motherfucker.
Going on to face... Who at race? WrestleMania? Diesel, okay.
Oh, no, wait.
Oh!
He hasn't.
Oh, no!
So really, that can be blamed on whoever played his bloody music.
Yeah. And then it's fallen down.
It's Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels has won the Royal
Rumble. Even, I love the way he's even overselling the win. It's brilliant.
It was a good performance by Shawn Michaels, wasn't it, I think, overall.
I thought it was quite clever camera work not showing Shawn.
Yeah.
Vince, as on commentary, obviously sold that Bulldog has won and that Shawn was eliminated.
And look, Pam Ranson's got...
Wet.
Total nipples on.
I wondered if you'd noticed that.
Yeah, I advise you all to, slow-mo.
Surely if you just Google Pam Ranson topless, you can see more than that.
Well, of course you can, but that's not the point, is it?
Okay, Adam. Vince tells us that only one of Shawn Michaels' feet hit the floor. Therefore, he's the winner and sexy boy plays.
He looks quite angry.
Your winner of the 1995 Royal Rumble, the first man to win it from the number one spot.
So let's have a look from this camera angle.
So Bulldog clotheslines Shawn over the top. And...
Neither of his feet hit.
Oh, no,
one does.
I don't know why they don't make such a big deal out of... this and just have one foot just more solidly touching the floor.
Like all the Kofi Kingston spots ever.
Yeah.
He does take his time doing it, though, doesn't he?
Well, he needs to sell Bulldog winning, doesn't he?
Yeah. I guess that's fair enough. But the refs are saying it's not. Earl Hemmer's there saying, no, his feet didn't hit the floor.
And then, Pam's now in the ring with Shawn for a bit of a celebration.
It looks like she's wearing Jimmy Del Rey's robe.
I imagine she is. It's a good pairing, really.
Well, look at her list of husbands. He'd probably fit on that list.
I find it quite impossible that he never shagged her. But I couldn't find any stories that he did. Plus, I imagine in 1995, if he did, he'd have told everybody.
Now it's gyrating for her.
At her, yes.
She finds it hilarious. She's running, and runs away.
She runs away.
You've not really spoke about it, Adam, but
and
Pamela Anderson's butt.
Pamela Anderson's butt is 5 stars.
It's the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat.
We've not really seen a great deal of it. The focus has mainly been on the tits. The medium close-up shot. Yeah, top of the cleavage.
And there's
face.
Pat Patterson to take her away.
Yeah.
Because she's definitely safe with him.
And, yes.
And, yeah. And Briscoe to the side there.
Yeah. And that is the end of the 1995 Royal Rumble.
Well, that was rather exciting.
What did we reckon to that match in general, then?
I'm glad it was short. Because
so there's logic in this 60-second business. The star power was absolutely minimal. And I know you commented at the start that, wow, you know, we're blowing a load with 2 stars at the start.
But they stay for the duration.
And that's exactly the point of it, isn't it? That if you had, say, Stephen Dunn and Mantar come out first, no one's going to give a shit. Whereas you send Shawn and Bulldog out there. Again, with Bulldog, I know we've criticised his size, but he's obviously got the staying power as well. So... yeah, they blew their load a little bit by, say, having Owen and Backlund eliminated very quickly. They were two big names that could have stayed in there a bit longer. But
do you think they're still under the illusion that Lex Luger's a big draw?
No, that's firmly gone.
Okay.
But he'll do for that sort of babyface slot in the Final Four, really, won't he?
He actually had a pretty decent spot in that Rumble. He eliminated quite a few people and, you know...
That's his last real high-profile thing we'll see him do anyway. Really?
So you kind of slink down into the mid-card now?
Yes, he doesn't reascend into the WWF main event. Paul, your thoughts on that Royal Rumble?
Disappointing. I mean, it was certainly wise to book it as a minute intervals. There wasn't a lot going on. There was a couple of moves, but for me, it's not going to be memorable. And I think certainly if you hadn't got the number one entrant winning, this would never be...
There'd be nothing memorable about it.
No, nothing at all.
Yeah, so. I think it was pretty, like the other stuff on the show, it's pretty smartly booked. They've taken the fact that they've not got a lot of stars, crammed them into important positions almost, and sort of played off that with Bulldog and Shawn being first two, middle two, last two. It's clever stuff. You've got a couple of other decent names in there, but yeah, it's a fucking motley crew of people, isn't it? I know we love the Heavenly Bodies, but they're really nobodies in the WWF. Well done, the Bushwhackers. You've got Dick Murdoch in there just to make up numbers. Rick Martel in there just to make up numbers. Really suffers.
We've got a lot of context in this, haven't we? Because we've been watching things going, and there's at least like half a dozen people in that Rumble that was like, I don't really know who this guy
Plus
is.
Plus people you don't normally see on pay-per-view, like Quang.
Yeah.
And this was the thing with the 40-man Rumble in 2011. Yes, it's played off, it's the biggest Royal Rumble ever, but you've got bloody JT RPG in there and people like that who people just that clearly serve aren't no going to win it. Yeah.
I mean, this would be potentially quite a different Rumble if you had just a couple more big names in there. If you'd had the Steiners, if they'd both been in there.
If you had Undertaker in there.
Yeah, if you had Undertaker, Razor, Yokozuna.
Yeah.
You could have made a much more solid Rumble, I think.
Where was Yokozuna at this point?
In that casket.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Still taking a nap.
I will say, to sum it up, they made the best of what they had, considering what they had was not a lot.
Yeah, it's making the best of a bad bunch, as it were.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the pay-per-view. There's no little ending segments there or anything. So, what did you reckon to the card as a whole?
I'd say not bad, actually. I think maybe I've just, as we're entering 1995, I've now got very, very low expectations of anything that we're going to see. But that wasn't too bad, I would say. There was a few nice matches. I like the tag match. I like the championship match. The Rumble was not, by any means, a good Rumble, but didn't get too boring because they sped the pace of it up quite a lot. And it had Pamela Anderson on it. Not bad.
Similar. My expectations were pretty low for this. I did like the championship match. I did like the tag match. I wasn't a fan of the kind of the actual Rumble itself, but it was better than I thought it would be. And that's probably the most generous thing I can say about it.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah, I thought this was a decent enough show. You've got a couple of quite strong undercard matches there. I know there was perhaps some miscommunication in the Jarrett Ramon match, but that was decent as far as IC title matches go. Yeah. The Brett Diesel match was very good stuff. And the tag match had some good points in. Yeah, it's hard to say that's a bad Royal Rumble because it's booked so smartly and it gets Shawn Michaels over really well. But yeah, the list of entrants is less than overwhelming. It's not a waste of a 3-hour watch.
It's not the worst we've seen by far.
So let's do the rounds then. Adam, match of the night and MVP.
I'm going to give the match of the night to the tag match. I found that very entertaining. If you removed Tatanka out of it and replaced him with someone better, it would have been far superior. But I thought that, you know, Bigelow, The Kid and Bob Holly all put in very good performances and I really quite enjoyed it.
That's the problem with the Million Dollar Corporation. Bam Bam's the actual only decent person in the group, so...
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you can't really substitute Tatanka for King Kong Bundy. Oh, shit. IRS. Oh, shit. Nikolai Volkov. Oh, shit. Yeah, there's not a stellar cast to replace in there, unfortunately.
But, yeah, a very enjoyable match. I could have quite easily given it for the championship match, and I could have probably given it for the IC match as well, because I've really enjoyed those. So as far as, like, MVP, I give it to the Bulldog. For staying the distance, and that is something that I probably didn't think that he'd actually be able to do, just because he's over-encumbered with muscle, wouldn't be able to hack it. And I'd expect that thing from Shawn Michaels, but I wouldn't necessarily expect it from the Bulldog, so I'll give it to him for that.
Interesting reason. Paul Scrivens.
Well, logic says that when somebody wins the Royal Rumble from entering first, that they should be at MVP.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that much of a standout performance to me, to be honest.
Okay.
And there was bits at the start and bits at the end were fine, but there was too much stuff in between that was not memorable at all. It's a hard one to choose. I mean, I thought Bob Holly did a really good job. I thought Bam Bam did a really good job. And I thought Brett was excellent. I thought Diesel was pretty good. But after the loss, I'd probably go for Brett.
Okay.
But I thought he was good. And I probably will have to go for the WWE title match for Match of the Night. But that tag match I thought was really good as well.
Okay.
And that was one of those ones where I always like the kind of hidden, unexpected gems.
Yeah,
and I thought it wasn't amazing, but it was a good match to watch.
It's worth watching alone for that Hurricane Rana spot with Bam Bam and the Kid.
Yourself?
Match of the night. It's a hard one, actually, because there's a lot of stuff on the undercard I did like. You take out that IRS Undertaker match and everything's really, really solid. I'll go with the title match. Despite the bullshit finish, there was a lot of good stuff in there. Brett playing the subtle heel role, doing a lot to try and get Diesel over as a babyface, and Diesel did a lot of stuff that perhaps we weren't expecting from him as well.
He's definitely grown.
It's just when you take away the crutch, is perhaps the right word, of guys like Brett and Shawn, how's he going to fare? And obviously that's something we're going to see, so we'll see how that goes.
Is the mark of someone truly great if you can put them in with someone that's either very inexperienced or is a very poor worker and they can still have a decent match? Like you say, I mean, anyone could probably have a decent match with Bret Hart. Anyone could have a decent match with Shawn Michaels. Let's put him in against someone else. Like, if he can have a decent IRS match, then, you know.
I'd dread that.
I think that's a bit unfair.
MVP, because no one's given it to him, I'm going to have to give it to Shawn. He is the first man to win the Royal Rumble from number one. I know it's not a particularly long Royal Rumble, it's the shortest, or particularly memorable one, but it's a good effort. I liked his bumping around. He does deserve it for being the first person to do it for number one.
Fair enough.
Adam, your mullet of the night.
I didn't really put much thought into this because I knew that we were going to see the Rumble match, and out of 30 competitors, I'm sure I was going to see something pretty special. Again, slim pickings, I'd say, overall on this pay-per-view, and I do wonder whether the mullet is wending its way out, and I might have to change it to sort of just haircut of the night. But we do have an outstanding mullet in this, and I'll give it to Crush.
Really?
Yes. I was starting to worry, but then number 30... waltzes out an absolute beast.
You think his was better than Bob Holly's?
Bob Holly's, unfortunately, suffers from a bit too much male pattern baldness throughout it.
I think you're really sleeping on that guy next to LT with the Jake Roberts mustache. I think his mullet's fantastic. I'm not an expert, obviously, like you.
No.
from an amateur standpoint, I really liked it.
You haven't done a 3-year course on it.
Mullet studies.
Yeah. It is the new GCSE next year. Yeah.
I penalise him for not being a wrestler.
Okay.
You know.
Is he one of the wrestlers?
He looks like he could be. He looks like Jake Roberts.
How much does that guy weigh?
I'd have loved to have seen it. Art Donovan. I'd love to have seen his reaction to Mantar if he came out of the bulls.
Oh, God. Art Donovan's commentary on a Royal Rumble would have been amazing. Yeah, that.
Who is this guy?
Is he one of the wrestlers? No, he's a bull. No, he's a man with an athletic support on his head. Who's the guy with the American flag? Ah, Art. God rest his soul. Mm. That wraps us up for the Royal Rumble 1995. Yeah, 1995. It's all right. And I don't know what everyone's on about.
It started off on a pretty positive note.
Yeah, that wasn't the worst show ever. I'd say go and watch it. It's not terrible.
Yeah, definitely worth a look.
Yeah, it's not something I'd say categorically avoid. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/NewGenerationProjectPodcast. You can also find us on Twitter.
At the slightly less complex
New Gen Podcast.
I've put a spin on things.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
We're also on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/NewGenPodcast. On Stitcher Radio as well. Search for us there and you can find us. And our episodes are always posted on piledriverwrestling.net as well. And we're currently posting on Botchamania as well. So if you're just listening to this for the first time, you can catch our old episodes on there as well. If you really fancy doing us a favour, you can rate, review and subscribe in iTunes. We love the joy of seeing a nice new review on that little review section, don't we, Paul?
As long as they're nice.
As long as they're nice reviews, yeah. Hate seeing rubbish ones, but thankfully there's only one so far. Yeah, fuck that guy.
To be honest, after that review, he's probably not listening to us again.
Well, yeah. I like to think he is out of protest. But yeah, give us a review. It brings us up the charts and brings the show to more people. And that's what we want to do, really. Episode Lucky 13 will be a WrestleMania 11.
Ooh. WrestleMania!
And WrestleMania is normally pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 1995 is all right, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
You've just given me a deep, dark sense of foreboding about WrestleMania 11.
One thing I will say is do not look up the card. Please do not look up the card.
I'll leave it to be a complete surprise when we watch it.
Maybe we should take a cricketing twist on this and do our WrestleMania 11, where we choose our best 11 for WrestleMania, and we choose our kind of opening batsman, as it were, and proceed to the main event.
We could do that.
Couldn't we? Have we got any events coming up that we're going to go to?
I'm going to go see RPW next month. That's going to be very, very good.
Well, RPW?
Prince Devitt before he heads to WWE, Kevin Steen before he allegedly heads to WWE. I thoroughly recommend everyone check out this show. It's time for us to say goodbye. My name's Stuart Brooks. Goodbye.
I'm Adam Wykes. Goodbye.
I'm at Yes Paul Scrivens. Goodbye. And today I'm not going to sing because my voice is just a little tickly. So I thought I'd do a dramatic reading instead. If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd have been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? If it hadn't been. That's B-E-E-N, not B-E-A-N. He came to town like a midwinter storm. Raining and stuff. He rode, it doesn't say what beast, through...
Wildebeest.
Possibly. It doesn't specify. He rode through the fields, some kind of crop, so handsome and strong as well. His eyes was his tools. I'm not sure grammatically how that goes. And what sort of tools they would be. But his smile was his gun. I'm not sure the sense of that either. But all he had come for was having some fun. There might be some subtext there. If it hadn't been, if it hadn't been, He brought disaster wherever he went. The hearts of the girls to hell broken scent. Bit of a downer. They all ran away so nobody would know, and left only men. Cause of Cotton Eye Joe. If, and I'm going to leave a longer pause here for dramatic effect. It's not gone down, I'm still pausing. Still pausing. This is going to be it. It hadn't been. If it hadn't been. Is that four or five I've done? If it hadn't been. Source HTTP :// www.lyricsondemand.com/onehitwonders. Oh, it's /. Oh, I said that all wrong, didn't I? Oh, I've made a fool of myself now.
Better start again.